B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, and we have another Eagles. Well, I don't know. Can you call it a debacle? Not really a debacle. We didn't expect them to win this game. They were in there to the point where they actually could have won the game. So from that standpoint, it doesn't make you feel good. And hence, I'm wearing my Kelly Green. It's the comfort color today for the people because we seem to find comfort in Kelly Green. So that's what I'm going with today, in case you're going to ask the question. So let's get into what the story is here at the Eagles. Now, we can break it down very simply in this game. And we can break it down, in my view, in two categories. And one is the drive that the Eagles attempt a 57-yard field goal. And there's some conversation there with that decision. Now, let's backtrack. Ebron fumbles the ball. The Eagles get the ball at their own 45. Great field position to move the ball into an area where you can go ahead with a field goal. It's a comfortable spot that you're in. They don't move it very well. And in that particular situation, after the fumble recovery, they do get a first down, which gets the ball to the 44 of Pittsburgh. 44 of Pittsburgh. Now, you only have to go 5 more yards to make it a comfortable field goal. They weren't able to do that. So what it winds up is a 57-yard field goal. Now, at the time, I thought it was the right decision. Now, I know that a lot of people don't think it's the right decision. The fact that he kicked it long enough to make it good from 57 tells me it was the right decision. He just missed it. He missed it right. If he was short, then I go, okay, that's a terrible decision. But in that particular situation, you got two other options. You can keep trying to go for it, try to inch it up closer. You got to convert a 4th and 5 there, and you could possibly do that. And then you get the drive going forth. But to me, I thought it was the right decision. So I'm not going to criticize Doug for that, even though it didn't work out. I saw some people on social media saying you punt the ball and you pin it. Why a punt? At the 44-yard line. You know, you're going to kick it through the end zone. It's going to be brought out. So what are you really going to gain? You're not going to gain much on that unless you can, you know, stick it into the 2-yard line, which is very difficult. So, all right. So I didn't have a problem with that. And now here comes the most notorious play of the game where they've got 5 wide in that particular situation. Tight end. All the receivers are flanked. The Eagles are in a zone. Normally, they're in a man-to-man situation. They're in a zone. They're 2 deep safeties, which means a linebacker has to cover a wide receiver. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm the head coach, I got to have that 360 vision. You know, I'm the head coach. I'm coaching the game. Yeah. He has given Jim Schwartz autonomy. Not because I don't think he thinks that highly of Jim Schwartz. I think Doug Peterson gives Jim Schwartz autonomy because he doesn't want to be bothered with coaching the whole game. I think Doug Peterson is smart enough to know that he is not one of those guys who's that smart enough to coach the whole game, to keep everybody in line. So he has to give people autonomy. In this particular situation, if any of their coaches looked up and saw that alignment, it was the wrong alignment. I mean, even defensive assistant coaches, offensive assistant coaches, analytics people, hey, you got Gary on the with Claypool, now go. And then he made an explanation today. His explanations were kind of lame on. He made an explanation. He didn't want to take a timeout there because he's going to get the ball back. He's going to need those timeouts. Well, guess what? They get a first down on that play. They get a touchdown. Every game's over. So you're going to have to, if they get a first down, you have to use your timeouts anyway. You're not going to have your timeouts to save on offense. And of course, you know what happened. It was a ridiculous mismatch where Chase Claypool, of all people, who I think during the game had shown he was a pretty reliable dude. Right? It wasn't like this unknown came off the bench and lined up. So to me, like, these are such, like, good teams don't have that kind of thing. Good teams don't. They don't get caught with their pants down. So in the overall scope of things, I look at the game and I go, they're not a good team. You know, we're trying to survive this season. They're not overly talented. They're not overly well coached. And you're just trying to survive. So in that context, they lost to a better team. And then you can move on. And then next week, obviously, they're going to lose to a better team. So then you look at, can they survive and win a division? Sub-500 team is the only thing we have to look forward to this year. And so I put that in perspective where I can't get, like, real upset at that. You know? I know they're not a great team. My expectations have been so lowered that I don't even get upset by that game yesterday where they lose, because I know the best thing you do anyway is probably to win 6-7 games, and hopefully that's enough to win a division. So what am I going to get all fuzzy about?
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's fair. I wasn't heartbroken about the mm-hmm. loss, but because I didn't expect them to win. But once they scored 29, it would have been nice if they mixed in just a little bit of defense and won the game, because nobody in the Delaware Valley, if you said it, you're lying, thought they would be able to move the ball as well as they did with that personnel against a good Steelers defense. And that was what was disappointing, not the loss, the way that it happened. Had it happened conventionally, the way I thought, mm-hmm. where they can score more than maybe 20 at the most, and then they lost, then I'm like, okay, whatever. The only reason I'm a little bothered is, well, that you got a gift of the 29 points. And none of those were short fields. Those were all legitimate scores, those four touchdowns. Long run from Sanders, different stuff. Fulgham scores, Ward scores. It would have been nice to mix in a little defense. And all you needed was one play late to give the team a chance for maybe a game-winning field goal. Or if you hold them to a field goal, at least let them drive for a touchdown. Instead, your back is broken late with that play. And that's the only thing that I'm lamenting the day after.
Yeah. I hear a lot of people giving, including the head coach. Can we hear the head coach describe that the play that the Gary played? He did it after the game. He said you have to see the film. You see the film? Why? All right, so he saw the film.
Yeah.
And this is what he said today about it.
At the end of the game, you know, when Ben is, it's as much a really good call by the Steelers, and really between Ben and Claypool, than it was the call on defense. I mean, he saw what was going on. He read the coverage, and it was just a one-on-one, you know, situation. So, you know, you sit here today, and we could, you know, 2020, and, you know, and hindsight and all that. But I thought it was more of a really good recognition by the Steelers and Ben, you know, to make that play.
Good recognition by the Steelers. Have you ever played beach football with a bunch of your dudes? Or not even at the beach, but at the playground. And you're lined up the same way, right? You have five wide. And so you take the snap as a quarterback. And here's slow, sweaty Sammy on your fast friend who's gonna go out for the pass, right? And you go, well, my boy here is going to be slow, sweaty Sammy. So does that take a great adjustment?
No, but that's the propaganda that's out there, because Ben Roethlisberger, you know, we worship quarterbacks. It couldn't be that just Ben did a remedial play. He saw the terrible linebacker guarding a guy who already had three touchdowns and said, you know what, guys, this is what we're going to do. You go beat that guy because we know he stinks. No, it has to be the highest level veteran move, 17 years in the league. It was the smartest play ever. And that's the national word out there. And that's what Doug is selling us. The propaganda that somehow Ben Roethlisberger was a genius to know to pick on Nate Gary. Come on.
I'm flabbergasted.
Like, I get he made their adjustment, but his adjustment was, okay, we're spread out. Look who's lined up over him. This guy's terrible. let's go to the guy with three touchdowns. That's all he did. It wasn't this sophisticated. It was so smart. No, Nate Gary stinks. They had one linebacker on the field, and then he was the one that was still on the field for some reason, a guy who can't cover. Ben Roethlisberger played a hell of a game. He carved up that defense. That play wasn't special. It just wasn't.
All right, so we'll talk about it. I mean, I don't know. What does this mean? I thought they were going to lose the game. They had a chance to actually win the game. I didn't have a problem with the field goal attempt. They lost because it was a bonehead coaching decision, and the head coach couldn't overrule it. And I sit here and I go, this is the kind of things that happens to a team that's not real good. So
one more note on the field goal, Mike.
Uh-huh.
In the history of that building,
yeah,
the longest field goal, that's in the NFL. There was one college kicker who made a 55-yarder, and it's not because the wind's in the face. It's because the wind blows left to right or right to left. And that's why I thought it was a bad kick, not because he didn't have enough leg. Everybody has enough leg in it, but it blew right, and that's what that stadium does.
I mean, you compensate. If you know it's going to blow right, I mean, that's the way your special team coach is out there, that you know, Mr. Special Teams. Hey, it's going to blow right on you. Overcompensate. It's like a golf drive. You got to fade it.
Right, but no kicker in NFL history in that building has ever been able to do that.
Well, that doesn't mean my guy can't.
Oh, yes,
what are my alternatives?
Go for it.
Go for it?
Yeah.
All right.
And because you can make 50 yarders, maybe 45 yarders, I just didn't think, I thought from the moment, there's no way that any, not just this kicker, I don't think any kicker on earth can make a 57-yarder in that stadium.
Well, it's always one guy. There's always one guy that'll be able to do it. You know, we never said that you could kick a 65-yarder.
Yeah, eventually there'll be a guy.
Yeah.
But that was what I was thinking. I was like, no, I don't think he'll make it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm sure a lot of people will have opinions. Like opinions on that. And the NBA, the bubble is gone now. The bubble is being disassembled. Everybody's gone home. And LeBron James leads another team to an NBA championship. This team, not a great team. And he does it with a triple-double. And it's his fourth finals MVP. It gives him four championships. And he inches closer and closer to occupying the Church of Jordan. Tyrone thinks he's already there, that this championship cemented it. I think he needs one more, which I think very clearly he could get next year. And then there'll be a whole different conversation. 610-632-0975. Mike Misnelli's show on a Monday, a football Monday, on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Misnelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Misnelli Show. That's always brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit one of Ferguson's counter locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester, and do that today. It is time for the Twitter poll. And the Twitter poll, of course, is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. And if you're looking for new outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons of Doylestown is the place to go. They have everything, and they'll treat you like a person, or like a box store. Order online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie, do I see a different hair shade on you?
I do, yeah.
You took the blonde out?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, thank you. Went back to brown.
Well, there you go.
More of my natural, and my hair was just damaged from the blonde, so... Yeah.
All right.
And
back
some bangs.
That's back natural.
Yes.
All right. What is the Twitter poll today?
Today's poll, Mike, over 300 votes on this one early. Who is to blame for the Steelers' final drive? 6% say Peterson, 77% say Schwartz, 15% say Gary, and 2% say the pass rush.
Yeah, poor Gary. You know, his numbers are terrible, right? He can't cover anybody. He's been... the people that he's covered, 23 catches on 23 targets. 267 yards. He's allowed 4 touchdowns. He allows a passer rating against him, 154.6. But in that situation, what do you expect him to do? Turn in Superman? Obviously, it's a mismatch. Claypool's going to run right past him.
Yeah.
So it's not really his fault that he's not good.
No.
It's their fault for sticking him in that spot.
But those numbers tell me that when it comes to coverage, he's as bad as it can possibly get.
Yes.
And it's malpractice by the coach to not try somebody else. I think he played like 100% of the snaps. He's their number one linebacker. I don't care if it's a practice squad guy. I don't care if it's a guy on another roster. That's rock. Those stats tell me it can't get worse. So after 5 games, maybe you try somebody else. And if that guy stinks equally, so be it. How do you stick with the guy who you know is the worst in the league?
You know what's really interesting about this? He was a college safety. They drafted and said, well, as a linebacker, he'll be a good cover.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's like everything they do seems to falter.
Everything. And I, you know what? Maybe he will be. I'm starting to wonder if he's being coached well. And I'm wondering if the defense is being coached well. Outside of that front 4, I do think they're coached well.
Well,
the back 7, I'm starting to wonder if the coaching is any good. And with a guy like him who's converting like that and still a younger player, coaching does matter. Talent takes over at a certain point.
There's no question. Oh, we can read the tea leaves here. They're not going to have a winning record. So, and I don't think they're going to win the division. I know people say, well, look, Dak Prescott's out now. They're weak against the Cowboys. Yeah, it certainly does. But, you know, the other guy who's going to come in now is a starter in the league for a long time. I think he can, like, hold down the fort to the point where they're going to have more wins than the Eagles. So at the end of the year, what you're going to see is Schwartz is gone. Like, he's the ultimate scapegoat guy that's going to be clipped.
Tough part. I hear you, but it can't be the head coach because the head coach didn't hire him in the first place. Unlike the other assistants.
Well, the head coach is going to clip him, though.
He can't. He would have already if he could have.
Yeah, at the end of the year, I'll allow him to clip him.
I think that somebody above the head coach is going to have to fire him.
Jeffrey Lurie likes Schwartz.
Well, then he's right? back. Yeah.
But even Lurie has to give it up after a while.
I hope.
He had to give it up with Chip Kelly. He had to give it up with Howie. He eventually gives it up.
Because remember, Doug last year had the back of his offensive coaches and was wishy-washy on him last year. Then the next day, his offensive assistants are gone,
and
Schwartz is back strong it went from above
Correct.
Doug.
So Peterson's got to go in. You know my opinion on this, Jeff. They can't not make a change. It's like the inevitable part of change. The inevitable part of Kapler, Matt Klentak, Brett Brown, Jim Schwartz. They fall into the inevitability chain of being zipped.
And I got to see Sidney Jones making plays now? What's that about?
Well,
I got to see Rasul Douglas making plays now? What's that about?
All those guys are occasionally going to make a play to make us think that we made a mistake, but we really didn't.
He's ranked the number one corner, I just checked, in all of the NFL.
That'll wane. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Lenny in Pittman. Lenny, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Lenny.
Good afternoon, sir. Looking at this game with clear eyes, I thought that was a remarkable statement Dougie made a couple weeks ago. I just think that these interceptions, which our franchise boy is averaging 2 a game almost, the other team is scoring points off these turnovers. And I think if they could be eliminated or whatever, and I think the thing with Zach Ertz, the league has figured out he runs 5-yard curl patterns, and you take a 5-yard curl pattern away, you take away Zach Ertz. So that's not hard to figure out. And then my other point is with clear eyes, what is it with Jalen Mills? Does he ever tackle with his pads? Everything is reaching, grabbing, you know, he just never, it just seems like a waste of time to me.
Tackling, covering was his problem yesterday. He missed one tackle, but he has no instincts as a corner.
No.
He really doesn't. He's that one play where he was way back and off the play where he turned off and didn't close. I've seen enough of him.
And listen, does this team celebrate way too much? You're down by 17 points. You get a stop, and you're running to the television. I mean, that the celebration stuff, really, man. You're a 1-3-1 team. Stop with the celebrating.
Well, I agree to your point, but this is what the league is, and everybody celebrates. But, like, if you make a bad play, and then you make one big play, and you celebrate after that, that's where you're out of line. You know,
gotcha.
Because you already got a stain. You can't. Like, you have to make like five good plays for you to get to trigger a celebration after that.
I would agree.
All right, man.
All right, man.
You got it. Cravon LeBlanc is a big celebrator.
Yeah. Corners are celebrators. Mm-hmm. But that's an Eagles thing that comes down from the coach that on turnovers you celebrate. Mm-hmm. They got the fumble recovery. That's the only time they celebrated, the one he's talking about.
Yeah.
That was a big play in the game. I'm not knocked.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with celebrating after that. I have a problem with celebrating with individual breakups of passes after you have allowed bad passes.
Yes.
Like, that rankles me.
I agree with that.
You have to get up to even before you then can allow your last.
But corners, and this is around the league, are so nuts, and they have to have that mm-hmm. last play didn't happen mentality.
Yeah.
That in their minds, it's not even because those plays didn't happen. They're always forgetting. What are we talking about? It's always the next play, because I guess this probably is a tough existence with how good these wide receivers
are. But here's the fan reaction. Yo, man, what are you celebrating about? You just gave up.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I agree. I'm just trying to. I don't think this is necessarily like a me situation. Yeah. This is a mental illness situation, because mm-hmm. corners and wide receivers in the NFL are both nuts in different ways.
Yeah. Football Monday, by the way, on the Fanatic is brought to you by Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors will do whatever it takes to keep you comfortable in every season with flexible financing options for every budget. To find a Pierce Phelps Bryant dealer near you, visit nopaybryant.com. All right, let's go to Lamar in Philly. What's up, Lamar?
What's up, Mike? How you guys doing?
Good,
Mike?
Lamar. How you doing?
Oh, man, not bad, man. Well, actually bad, but I'm going to say not bad. I don't want to call you and Tyrone with the same material every time, Mike. I've been bashing sports and sweats the whole time. I'm off of that. I just need you with your thinking to explain to me, how is it a guy like Schwartz can be given such a long leash? I feel like it's a smack in the face to anybody that really likes football. And I'm coming from a standpoint where I don't think a minority would get the same leash to be this bad for 3 or 4 years straight. I called you 3 years ago at the Carolina Panthers game, and we were talking hands had to roll, and we were considering Schwartz. The guy's still here giving 40 points up a game, not stopping anybody, Mike.
Yeah, they're very reluctant to fire defense coordinator in the middle of a year. Now, Schwartz does come, while you think he stinks now, he does come with a little bit of a resume of success. So he's a venerable defensive coordinator who has had success in the league, so that's why he gets a longer leash.
But, Mike, with the success that he has, they hire quarterback coaches that's in their early 30s and maybe late 20s. And this guy didn't get a sniff at a job. So how good is that resume if he didn't get a sniff at a head coaching job?
Well, we're not talking about a head coach. We're talking about a defensive coordinator.
So he's
got a reputation of being a decent defensive coordinator. He doesn't have a reputation of being a great head coach. He's not going to get a head coaching job anywhere.
Okay, well, he ran the same scheme in Detroit, this wide nine. So you're saying his reputation won't follow him to his next job, right? This reputation.
Well, I don't know if he's going to get another job or not. All I can tell you is they're not going to fire a guy in the middle of the year, most likely. And at the end of the year, there's no doubt in my mind he's going to be clipped because they're going to have a losing record and their defense isn't going to show up on any kind of, you know, high ranking.
Yeah, well, right now, the way I see it now, Mike, I feel like he's given way too long of a leash. And his resume to me says one thing, 400 yards a game, 30-plus points a game.
I got you. But again, you want to fire now, Lamar. It's not going to, like, who? You fire him, what? The assistant's going to come in. You're not going to get a new guy to put in a whole new defense when you're in the middle of the season.
Mike, you're 1-3-1. Why does it even matter?
Right. Well, you give me examples. Defensive coordinators have been fired in the middle of a year because it just doesn't happen. You're not going to bring in a new guy to install a new defense that you have 3 days to put in. So if they fire him, it's because they think that the assistant guys that they have can fill the bill and will be able to change it. But they're not going to go for a wholesale change in the middle of a year.
And they also haven't quit on the year. Like Atlanta has quit on the year. That's why they fired their GM and coach. The Eagles are rightfully haven't quit on the year. At 1-3-1, they're not out of it yet. Doesn't mean they're going to win the division. Mm-hmm. But they have to still approach it of, if we still won against Baltimore, look where we're at. They still have to approach it if we can still win the division. As maybe if it gets to the point where if the defense is so bad and they're eliminated, just like we might see Hurts, you might see the door for Schwartz as well.
Yeah.
Once they're eliminated, but that's not going to happen. Dallas isn't going to run away with it. That's not going to happen before week 13. 14, it's going to be a while.
Yeah, exactly. So when they fire a head coach, they can get a guy that has a different voice. But Atlanta didn't fire their coordinators, did they?
No, they Todd Bowles is now the acting head coach.
Yeah, so like you can't like have total instability by firing everybody.
Right.
So you fired a coach, that's fine. Because somebody can always take the reins as head coach. If you bring another coach, I don't know if they're going to do that or not, but probably not. They have an interim coach. So it's people in the system.
Yeah. They're not going to do it during this.
No.
Unless it gets so bad and they're eliminated. At 1-3-1, I don't think it would be prudent. They just had a good game against the 49ers. He didn't call about that game.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. He's bad, but like he conveniently skipped that week to call.
Yeah, well, listen, all the venom is going towards the one play they didn't stop, which is connected to the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I'm just saying, he says, I've been calling you every week. No, you haven't.
Yeah.
You skipped when they got the three turnovers against San Francisco.
This is like the big spotlight is on him now with the one play.
Right.
All right, let's go Greg in Bethlehem. Greg.
Hey, guys. Listening to Doug's presser today, I mean, he pretty much confessed that they were out-schemed by the geniuses on the other side of the field. That, you know, once they lined up five across with Gary on Claypool, it was over. You know, like the play didn't have to happen. It was just an automatic. And, you know, I just...
Well, that's what I mean. He's giving him... give Ben credit for recognizing the play, changing the play. What are you doing? Are you kidding me? Anybody who looks at that situation is going to do the same thing. It was no great move by Ben Roethlisberger.
No, I mean, you can't make him a Superman for seeing the obvious, you know?
Exactly. So it's more on what you didn't do than what he did.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I thought Roethlisberger did a great job to keep from laughing when he saw that lineup, because I mean, you saw him motion to Claypool. I mean, yeah, he definitely motioned to him.
Listen, this is why when you're playing beach football, you motion to the guy, right? You give the guy, look, right? It's coming. It's really fundamentally simple as that.
Absolutely. I mean, we have the Philly special. Do you think these other teams have a 47 special?
Listen, they would attack a weak cover. So,
I mean, they can't cover bunch formations, the Nate Gary special, of course, and the jet sweeps. I mean, that's coaching.
Yes, I got you, Greg.
I think
I hear you. It's obviously it comes down to this has always been the case with Peterson Schwartz. We've talked about this many times before. Where that guy has complete autonomy. They don't even cross paths. Like, I remember doing the show saying, does the head coach wander into a defensive meeting ever? And he doesn't. He doesn't even walk into the meeting. Now, I don't know if most head coaches do that. Maybe they do. Maybe they do trust the defensive coordinator. They want to muddle the waters there, right? But it seems to me that in that particular situation, again, it comes back to him being able to coach a game on his feet. And I've said many times, this guy's not one of his strengths. He can't coach on his feet as the game is transpiring. He's not the best at that. So in that situation, he shouldn't be looking at his chart. His chart means nothing at that point. He should be looking at his alignment, what's going on with his team there. And when he sees that, hey, Jimmy, or you're going to have to take a timeout because it's going to be that's the game right there. So if you're coaching the game on your feet, with your brain, as the game's going on, you would be able to control a situation like that.
You're right. Real fast, I misspoke. Raheem Morris is the head coach taking over Atlanta. Bowles is in Tampa.
He's in Tampa with Arians.
Yes.
The Temple connection.
Yes. To your point just now, Mike, the caller mentioned he saw it and then they signaled at the line. There was time there. They didn't get to the line and go quick. Yeah. If you're watching the game, I think if Belichick, even Andy Reid, if they see that and they see, okay, when the tight end, they split out wide, and they put, because they usually run that play where, and then Claypool's now in the slot, which is different than normal.
Yep.
You recognize that if you're watching the game, and as he's signaling guys and changing it, because all he said is, hey, go deep now, because this guy, because Claypool even looks back, if you go back and look at the film, he looks back at him like, are you sure? Because it was not, he's like, yes, go deep, because clearly he's supposed to run something short. Call timeout. If you're the head coach and you're paying attention, you see, okay, Gary's on a guy who has three touchdowns. You call timeout, and then you reset. And if it's Mills or a safety or somebody on him and you get beat with the same play, fine. But you can't let Gary guard the guy that has three touchdowns already. To me, that's just bad coaching.
Well, they also had a little bit of time to prepare for that down. Because if you remember, that was the play reversal.
Right.
So there was plenty of time to think about what they might do there.
Right. And I don't know why they've decided, despite all the evidence otherwise, that Gary is the coverage linebacker. Like, why do you have to go with a line? Go with an extra safety. There was talk that they were going to do a bunch of three safety stuff this year. We've barely seen any of that. Why do you have to have him on the field at that point?
You know, it's funny because the reversal, who did they say had the interception? Gary.
Right, and it bounced twice.
Right. Yeah. They said Gary had the interception. And Vader go, well, he was close to getting the interception. Everyone goes, you know,
but they have to know better and know that ball hit the ground twice and he's trailing. We know he's kind of fast. He just doesn't know where to run.
Well, he was in on the play, so I mean, maybe we'll trust him next play. I don't know. Who knows what's going through your head? Mike at Creekside. Oh, there he is. Oh, Mikey.
How you doing, gentlemen and Natalie?
What's going on, Mike?
All right, it's bad enough for Nick Gary, but Nick Gary should not be back on the field for the rest of the season. This guy stinks. He was only mediocre when they brought him in last year. And my final straw was when they turned around, there was a play and it was going downfield and Gary was chasing, but Cox came from behind him and passed him. So now if this guy is that slow that Cox comes from the line, passes Gary to chase down the play, Gary's too slow to be playing in the first place.
Yeah, they don't have an abundance of linebackers that they can substitute for him.
Well, right now, I'm looking at, I think the guy from Temple is still on the practice squad. Even if he doesn't know what he's doing, he got more.
I think he's on the practice squad. I think is he on the practice squad? He's activated, that kid.
Well, he should be playing. And
Bradley. Yeah.
And the other. I mean, at least or move Avery back from defensive end, because when we brought him in last year, it was saying that he could play linebacker or something. But Gary needs to be out of there. He is too slow.
Yeah.
And somebody needs to be talking to Ertz, or he needs to be warming the bench. I mean, this guy is putting up no effort for the. And I think the last two passes that Carson threw to him and got intercepted, I think that's because it looked like Gertz did not make any effort.
Yeah, no, he got bumped off the route. You're right, he probably should have made more of an effort. It could also have been called a penalty. I don't know how to look at that play. But yeah, well, I don't think Ertz is engaged. I really don't. I mean, I never thought that this would mess him up as far as his zeal to play the game, but maybe it is.
Well, the situation is, if his head isn't in it, he needs to be sitting on the bench until training.
Yeah, but they don't have anybody else, Mike. You can't justify benching Ertz when you have nobody else.
Well, look, I can justify, just like everybody wants to put Simmons on the bench for not shooting a jumper.
Yeah.
I can sit Ertz on the bench for not giving effort.
All right. I can't defeat that argument. You clean me. Hey, Mike, is Creekside in New Jersey?
No.
Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania. It's in Pennsylvania.
It's a street?
Yes.
What in what town?
Brookhaven.
Oh, you're Brookhaven. Oh, okay. All right, I got you.
When I first started calling you, I was using Brookhaven, and I changed it over to Creekside.
Okay, yeah, because I was looking at what Creekside, what it is.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it
Ridley
as a town.
Creek.
Okay. All right, buddy.
Ridley Creek.
Okay, Mike.
All right.
You got it. Mike, I love Mike.
Delco.
So fired up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm looking at Creekside. There is a Creekside, Pennsylvania. It's in Indiana County.
Oh, wow. Where's that?
It's so west of State College, in the middle of the state.
Oh, okay. Never been.
Yeah,
clearly.
It's like there's a college out there. It's Indiana University of Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah. All right, 610-632-0975 is how you climb in to the Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. It's NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
344, Mike Vizinelli Show. I get these mini headphones on again. I ordered a pair of headphones over the weekend.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I brought my headphones in. It's been several days with the IT people. Apparently, they can't figure out how I would use the Beats that I have. So,
okay, so you got a new pair.
I ordered because somebody emailed me. They said, why don't you get yourself a pair of Grado headphones and forget about it. I don't even know. I never even heard of them.
I never heard of that either.
So I looked them up, and apparently they're well-received in the industry.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah. They're made in Brooklyn. You ever heard of Grado headphones?
No. Yeah. Well, because I haven't shopped for headphones in 15 years.
Yeah.
I've been using the same pair.
Yeah, now they got, this company makes headphones that are like a couple $1,000s, but that's not what I went for. I went for the littlest audio headphone that would plug into this jack that I could find.
Wow, I see them.
See them?
Yeah.
No, plus, I have different preferences on music at different times. I was a headphone person for a long time.
Yeah.
And now I've switched off.
Were you a headphone man where you could plug it in? Into your receiver? Remember the old days?
Yeah, that era I was.
Yeah, so was I.
I was in that era. Now I'm less of a headphone person. I think partially because I'm wearing them all the time at work all the time.
Yeah.
I used to have a really nice pair of Pioneer. Remember that brand?
Yeah, the Pioneer's
still a good brand.
Still a good brand.
Yeah, I used to have them. I have no idea what I do with them. Now, that's not something you throw out.
No.
I have no idea. They get lost in the shuffle.
And that's the good thing about headphones, though. If you had a pair from the 70s that you just listen to a record player and you go lose them right now, they might even sound better because certain things, speakers and headphones can sound better as they get broken in.
Really?
So they would still work if you still had them.
Yeah, I wish I had them. I would not have a problem here. Yeah.
No, I mean.
So I get these little minis.
Yeah, you only get you through a couple days.
Yeah.
I was thinking about ordering a pair, though. I actually shopped this weekend for the first time for headphones in 15 years.
You shopped for them?
I was looking around. I saw, I've been a Sony man for so long. So I wanted to just see, what do they have over here?
Yeah,
you stick with
Sony?
I've been sticking with Sony. Yeah. I was looking mostly at Sony.
I never heard this guy email me. He said, get yourself a pair. So I figured he was a man who knew headphones.
He probably
does. So I got him.
Headphones, man. They were cheap.
I
also try not to look at things I can't afford. Like, there's this company that make these very nice amps called Macintosh. But it's M-A-C.
Oh, I know Macintosh.
Yeah, I can't afford any of that stuff. But I remember I went into the store once. I usually look online. Uh-huh. And I saw an amplifier that I wanted with the tube showing that was $37,000.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
And then I'm like. In fact, in the Departed.
Yeah.
When she hooks up the headphones to listen to the tape, that's a Macintosh.
Yeah. Oh.
That's a good pull by you.
Yeah.
That's a good pull.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Check it out next time. She's the Macintosh.
Talk about attention to detail.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Stupid. All right, let's go to Rob. I want to sell. Rob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob.
Hey, what's up, guys and gal? Listen, I agree. You guys touched upon all, like 80% of what I was going to say. It's definitely a coaching problem. You cannot change the coaches mid-season, but I think Jeffrey Lurie, towards the end of the season, when and if they don't get towards the playoffs, he can put pressure on, you know, Doug and say, look, I'd like to see some of these other players. We need to make some decisions for next year. I think Lurie needs to do that. But other than that, let's not talk about the Eagles. They could be 10-6 and 9-7 if they had a better coach and if Wentz was playing better. But listen, as far as the NBA, hey, I always thought that Julius Erving was the best basketball player out there. I still do.
Nah.
He didn't win as many championships. But
Dr.
J was like right there.
No, he wasn't.
But you don't.
He wasn't even close. Dr. J. Okay. Like, I don't know if he's in the top 10, to be honest. Now, we love Dr. J because of what he did, but he as an all around player, he wasn't one. Yeah. He wasn't in the level of Jordan, LeBron.
I got you. But LeBron is up there. I just hate to see the other guy lose the number one GOAT position in the NBA. As far as the other thing goes, hey, Tyrone, you were coach of Pee Wee football because I saw a rerun of the show this weekend when I was down in AC. And I played a lot of Pee Wee football. I played a lot of football. I organized. I played a lot. I was going to play pro, but it got hurt, et cetera. But listen, Pee Wee football is a very important thing, and you have a big impression upon kids. And I heard the one thing you talked about when the kids were crying because the other team was celebrating. That's a big thing. And there were a lot of things in Pee Wee football. I think about
two. Tyrone was talking about basketball.
To this day, I think about Pee Wee football things to this day. But Tyrone, hats off to you. Props to you. Keep up the good work. Talk to you guys later.
All right. He didn't even hear me what I said. I don't think.
No. It was basketball.
Just kind of blew through it. Yeah, you're talking about basketball.
Yeah, and I just thought it was important. Sportsmanship, we were talking about sportsmanship last week.
Yes.
I was saying how important it was. And when we, and there was a year where we were undefeated and we smoked a bunch of teams. We never, ever celebrated. We get right to the line. We shake hands first and any celebration happens afterwards. Yes, and there was, we lost. Kids come back on us. I don't care. We win some, we lose some. I'm not a sore loser. But we line up in the line. And the other team was excessively celebrating and not shaking hands.
Uh-huh.
And I turn around and I see three or four kids crying in front of people. I felt bad.
Yeah.
And I took them out of line. And then I was called all kinds of names when really I was just trying to protect the kids.
Yeah.
You're supposed to line up, shake hands, and they can go cry in the hallway, whatever you want to do.
Right.
I didn't like my guys having to cry in front of the whole gym as the other team was being bad sports. That was all.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. That's good. It's a good thought process of it. He went from Pee Wee football to then I was going to play pro. Our last guy.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty big leap there. But, all right, let's go to Brian in Dallas. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian.
My word of advice and all your greatness, don't make a joke before you get on for a caller because now I just lost all my stuff laughing at you.
Well, he connected Pee Wee football, but then I was going to play pro. You know? I don't know how you got to the pro level without going through the necessary steps.
Anyway, man, I wanted to catch my breath real quick, man. I'll just go with the sports call, man. When you look at that real quick, I just want to tell Tyrone something about the lineman. Really fast. He had six DBs out there. The problem in that whole defense was Gary, but it was just how he had him aligned, man, because, you know, you don't have a lot of talent back there. You had three to the left, right? And Claypool was, like, pretty much standing up generally what a tight end generally would be. So he's going to stress the safety, which is McCloud, all right? If you watch that play, I think Schwartz was hoping that Gary would stay underneath and McCloud would stay over top. The only problem is he didn't have Mills in a man-to-man coverage to take away out the far receiver. He had him in a zone. So if you watch the play, McCloud drifts right out of the zone. That's why it was so wide open.
McCloud, we were talking about this before the show. McCloud had the responsibility to be savvy enough to go, well, that's a mismatch. But if I'm going to, like, double somebody, come over the top, it should be right here to help Nate. I agree. Or, as the captain of defense, he probably should have looked and called time out.
Yeah, McCloud should have been, as a true safety, McCloud should have said this, Mills suck. But Gary sucks more.
As a savvy veteran guy, you got to do stuff like that. Like Dawkins would do kind of that kind of thing all the time. He would read the play. And
Dawkins would have some real linebackers in there because he'd be like,
true.
This crap.
Yeah. But you got to be savvy, read the field, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, but I think this team, I think our leadership from Howie through Doug to Schwartz, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at this, Mike. Our two practice squad players, our two, Ward and Fulgham, right, have outplayed everybody drafted at their position. So that tells you we don't scout talent very well on our side of the ball. Offense, defense, or the GM. We cannot apparently scout talent. And that's horrible.
I hear you, man. Now, listen, I don't know what's going to happen with Fulgham. He seems to be able to run routes better than a lot of guys because he's just getting open. And when you get open, that's when the quarterback trusts you. And so he looks for you all the time. So whatever he does to get open, he's doing it in a savvy way. So that's something that they probably should have noticed in practice. But maybe they said, well, he gets open in practice. He doesn't get open in the game. That being said, now that he's on the map, people are going to pay more attention to him. So we'll see if he's a good player that can help this team, or he's just a temp. Because I've seen a lot of temps. I've seen him. I know people, well, you're disrespecting him. No, I'm not. He had a great game. But I've also seen some other guys that we get conned and thinking that, how'd they miss this guy? He needs to get the ball more. We'll see. Like I said, I'm a little slower to come on board with people.
Yeah, I get that. But we've never seen a temp like this.
No, he's been, and the thing is, he's a bigger guy. So and he's got good route running ability. So that are two positives in his favor as opposed to the smaller guys that they usually throw in there.
He's what J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, so far in these two games, he's been what J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Bigger, be able to move the chains. Mm-hmm. Arcega-Whiteside obviously has not been that, and Fogum has passed mm-hmm. him in career stats already somehow. And I don't know how the guy can sleep at night knowing that.
He made a catch.
The dumbest catch.
Made a catch, celebrated. He was excited.
Yeah, should have batted it down.
Well, anyway, yeah, because the clock was going to run out.
Right.
All right, so 3 o'clock hour, we'll go around the NFL at 3:30. Brian Westbrook for his look at this game at 4 o'clock. Jaworski a little later than that. Big show, one open line, 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's the 3 o'clock hour. Mike Mistel Show. Football Monday. Eagles lose. Yeah, I don't know. This game didn't leave you that disappointed. It's like, this one was, I had a chance, And now you're going to lose to the Ravens. So now you're like, all right, with that record, can they possibly win enough games to win a division with a losing record and get in the playoffs? I mean, that's what we're being reduced to. I don't think they can. Dallas has the easiest schedule remaining of anybody in that division. So, and I don't think that Andy Dalton's not good, but he's not as stiff either. So,
The Eagles are going to have to steal one that we don't expect, and I don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah,
for them to have a chance, they're going to have to steal a game that they have no business winning, and then win some that they're supposed to win, like the Giants, the other Washington game, and stuff like that.
Giants not really certainty anymore. Giants played well yesterday.
They played well because it was the Cowboys' defense. They're not good. They're wretched.
Yeah,
I think the Eagles beat them by 20.
I think you're probably right about that. I was surprised because that was one of my plays of the week that Dallas would smoke them.
Not a great week.
I had a terrible week. You know what? Here it is. I'm in a slump. Happens. When I go 0-3, I now put myself on the bench. You're doing the picks next week.
Oh, I forgot to see wow.
When I go 0-3, it's time for a day off.
Right.
I'm benching myself so I can watch the field.
How'd B-West do?
I think he went 2-1.
He did?
Well, he lost the Cowboys game.
He lost to Minnesota. He lost the Vikings.
He had Vikings plus 7.
Are they covered?
So they covered that. Yeah, they covered. And then he had.
That's what I mean. Tyrone, you got to pull me back out, man. I'm out. An 0-3 benches me.
All right. Well, we'll talk about football Friday.
Study all week.
I will.
It's the 3 o'clock hour. Corpley's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit is good. The NBA free agents date has been set. We'll start on December 1st. So I took the time to write down a couple names. If the Sixers can manage to sign a free agent, I know it's going to be tough for them. They have to clear out some stuff to get a free agent. So this is a wish list that, without consideration of the fact that they can afford them or not. So this is the can they afford them list.
Okay.
And if they do some things and you'd be interested. So mm-hmm. let's start off with Fred Van Vliet.
In a perfect world, yes. And he can play with Ben, handling enough, secondary ball handler, tough as hell, and can make an open shot. There's no reason not to want that guy.
Okay. So you get a thumbs up for that.
For sure.
All right. Joe Harris.
Yes, and realistic. One-dimensional shooter, but because he's a one-dimensional shooter.
Price tag would be decent.
Yeah, maybe he's a mid-level exception guy. I don't know all the specifics because this, and we don't know what the, because the draft this will be a couple weeks before that. But he actually is probably more realistic than Van Fleet.
Okay. Davis Bertans.
Of course, it'd have to be a sign and trade, though. He sat out the bubble on purpose just to set himself up for this, so he's looking to get paid.
Yeah.
Like, he literally sat out like, I don't want to get hurt because I know this is my chance to cash in.
All right, and one more in that decent price level. Montrezl Harrell.
Now, the interesting thing about that is bigs have been going for cheaper than they're supposed to. But if you want to talk about an energy guy off the bench.
I like it.
Right, and especially if you're trying to move Horford. And let's be honest, they're going to try to move. Maybe they can't.
Did he battle with Doc?
No, Doc unlocked.
Doc liked him?
Yeah.
Towards the end, though, he was causing trouble, wasn't he?
I think that was related to the death of his grandmother, and he missed some time.
Okay.
I think that a lot of that Clipper stuff wasn't just on Doc. I think some of that was some bubble circumstances and the fact that their team leader's a weirdo.
All right, here's some intriguing names that are just going to run by you here. Lou Will first.
In a trade. Or is he free agent?
Free agent.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Marcus Morris, free agent.
Tough player. I'm
okay. Pat Connaughton.
Interesting. I don't think they can get him. But yeah.
Free agent.
Yeah, but they don't have cap space, so they'd have to.
I mean, would he cost a lot?
I don't know.
I don't think he would.
He's interesting.
How about too old? Gallinari.
Yes.
Too old.
Still.
You say yes on him?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All
because
right.
if you can get him cheap because he'll shoot from the wing and he has some size, he fits well with Embiid.
All right. And then finally, Austin Rivers.
Unfortunately, yes. But I don't like the whole daddy. That's the coach thing.
I hear you.
But as you're talking about, if you can hypothetically get him,
bench
you're talking about a guy off the bench who can create his own shot, and he has that irrational confidence,
because
you saw what Burks did for stretches with that irrational confidence. That works in the NBA. He thinks he's better than he is, and that therefore he wills himself to be better than he is.
All right, and finally, and you get this guy at a very cheap price, Jordan Clarkson.
No. He's the only
Okay, all right.
On that list. Any other of those guys would be better than what the Sixers have. And that even allows for some growth with Shake Milton as a spot-up shooter. No longer as your point guard, as a come-off-the-bench-and-fire guy because he shot a high percentage from three. All those guys you mentioned wouldn't take away from anybody's development. They would only add. They wouldn't take away from Thybulle's development. They only add. All those guys, except for Clarkson, he would end up taking minutes from guys who I think have a better skill set to fit with the two stars.
All right, and just as a postscript to the LeBron thing, because I'm getting emails on it now. Ryan emails. The question is LeBron the greatest? Not after last night. The question is gone. You can throw it out the window. Never needs to be asked again. The new question is how much better is LeBron than Jordan? And I never thought I'd say that. But that's just how it is. All right. That's his view on it.
I'm sure you have an opposing view.
I have an opposing view from JB, who is a monster Jordan guy. So he sends me a he sends me a little video of is LeBron has LeBron James passed Michael Jordan is the greatest, and he sends the video of Jordan in the Last Dance looking at the screen going, remember he looked at the iPad and started laughing?
Uh-huh.
That was what he sent me. So there's two different views there.
Yeah, see, neither one of them like actually used any facts to back it up, but the dismissive nature from the Church of Jordan is starting to be a bad look. Starting to be a bad look there,
JB.
Yeah.
JB sent me
like
the Jordan laughing at the iPad.
All these people You know, and then also let's think about that part of the legend of Jordan. Think about this league today in the NBA and think about the fact that part of the reason Jordan's considered all-time great is because he shot over Craig Elo.
Yeah.
Ooh, if LeBron made a shot over a Craig Elo level player, he would get ripped for 48 hours. And Jordan is part of his legend that he beat a Craig Elo for a jump shot.
He swished past Byron Russell.
Well, right, on single coverage. LeBron got quadruple covered on Friday night.
He also gave it up for two game-winning shots, and people were complaining that LeBron gave it up the other night.
Which Danny Green was wide open
three-pointer.
Wide open, a guy with two rings. That looks like a good pass to me.
The Church of Jordan saw Jordan give it up twice. Once the Pax and once the Kerr, right?
Okay, yep.
And they see that play, get triple teamed, and LeBron didn't take the last shot.
Look, he shouldn't have.
That's correct.
Danny Green had a pedigree to making shots like that. He just missed it.
Cracks me up.
Come on.
Mike in Wilkes-Barre. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Great show, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
Going back to the last caller a couple calls ago from Pee Wee to the Pros, that sounds like a 30 for 30 the Nate Garrett story. I don't think we've had a worse pass covering linebacker since LeVon Kirkland, to be honest. But everybody's talking about how, you know, it's all coaching. We need to start taking a look at what those coaches are given. Howie has not had a great draft in forever. I honestly think that our last, you could count it, great draft would be when we got Lito, Sheldon, and Michael Lewis. And I mean, I'm not considering the picks where you had Fletch and you had Carson when you had those early picks. You know, Howie should look across the field yesterday and see what the Steelers do, because they've got Claypool, they've got Bush, the linebacker, they've got TJ Watt, they've got Juju, they've got people that are homegrown and we just can't draft. Mm-hmm. And we haven't hit on anybody. And we still don't even know what Dillard is. So we draft every year and we don't pick up anybody that is scary, that other teams are afraid of. And the problem is, you hear people saying, oh, tank for a high draft pick. How can we trust that we're going to get someone that isn't a Nelson Aguilar or, you know, a Arcega Whiteside? There's no confidence in Howie or the scouting team to pick up anybody who's going to help us.
I can't argue with you. You're right. So, every draft is different, and just because they haven't drafted well in the past, maybe they draft. You got to change your philosophy. It's interesting you bring up linebackers, because I try to remember what quick linebackers they had that could actually cover tight ends and stuff. And the only guy I can come up with, the last guy I could come up with, was Michael Kendricks. Right? That's the last guy that with speed that they drafted for that specific purpose. And I look at the college football now. College football spawns a ton of those kind of linebackers.
Yep.
You're looking at all the draft. The linebackers that come out are drafted because they can cover. They don't draft any Dick Butkuses anymore. They draft guys that can move, that can cover. And the Eagles, they did last year with the third-round draft pick who's been on the football field for 10 minutes instead of drafting a guy who actually can play.
In the third round, too. I know it's not a first round, but that's where I know the Hurts pick is what it is. We talked about that to death. That's an underrated, terrible pick, because a third-rounder with this depth chart should be able to play. If you draft a third-round linebacker with this depth chart, by now, week six, you should say, he should be coming out today and say, hey, we're going to give this guy a look. We'll give him a chance. We'll see how he looks in practice. Basically saying this guy's going to start this week because we don't have anything better.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable that they drafted a redshirt linebacker knowing what they had at linebacker. So you mean to tell me in 2 years he might be good? Like, come on.
We're talking about Davion Taylor. He's been so invisible, I call him Savion Taylor. I thought his name was Savion. But Savion was the tap dancer dude from Sesame Street.
Savion. He also did the Broadway stomp.
Oh, yeah. He was the, like, I first saw him on Sesame Street. He was a young kid. He was a kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, we used to do, the lesson was snap, tap, clap.
Yes.
it was snap, tap, clap, right?
Remember? Yes, it was.
Savion
Glover.
Yeah, Savion Glover. Yes. In fact, my head goes, they drafted, I was just ready to say they drafted Savion Glover, but it's Davion Taylor. And he's a linebacker that they drafted because they thought he could be able to cover somebody in 5 years.
And also, are we sure that he can't play better in coverage on a couple down? Are we like, how do they know? You can't coach this guy up to do anything in the defense, knowing what you have at linebacker as an alternative. Something about that's not like. Did you just predetermine that it was going to be a red shirt year? He's only going to play special teams.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Zeki. Oh no. It's Zeki from Shenandoah. What's up, Zeki?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's going on? I haven't heard from you in a long time.
Oh, with the pandemic and all and everything else.
Okay.
But, hey, I have two good points first.
Okay.
First of all, you found a receiver that could catch the ball in Fulgham.
For the time being.
Yeah, but, hey, he's catching the ball. He's doing the job.
Uh-huh.
You're going to probably end up getting in a low draft pick this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I have one more thing to say. At the beginning of the game, when Pittsburgh, it was the first or second drive, them two pass interference on Darius Slay, they were tacky. They weren't.
Well, the one I thought was a good call. The first one was tacky.
Yeah, but I mean, that could.
But then they made up for it. I didn't think that was a pass interference on Claypool.
No.
When he swam back for the ball.
No, you're right. But and then you're saying about Schwartz, the defensive coordinator. He don't have the talent, Mike. Let's face it. Them linebackers. Get a good draft pick next year, take the best linebacker out there and go from there.
Well, they're probably going to have to change their philosophy on this linebacker thing because they make linebackers like, you know, where Leonardo DiCaprio lived in Titanic. But, you know what I'm saying?
Anybody wins that division this year, they ain't going nowhere. Dallas or the Eagles or whoever. But none of them teams are going to go beyond one game, so.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Zach, good to hear from you, brother.
Good to hear from yours. Good luck with everything.
All right, man. Yeah, what was that deck called? They kept the...
Where the Leo lived?
People. They had the deck on the Titanic. It was called something.
I thought it was
like
just...
like the low deck, the low-class deck.
That's what I thought it was called. Wasn't
the
it just
low class
the lower...
deck? The I thought low... it had a name.
It might have. Let me look it up.
Yeah, look that up. They had cages.
I know. You know? It was horrible.
It was the Italian kid was with him.
Right, Fabrizio.
Yeah, Fabrizio from Italy.
I think it was just third class.
Third class?
Third class cabins,
third class cabins. All right, yeah. All
right. The F deck.
Yeah, that's where the Eagles have linebackers.
On the F deck.
Yeah, let's go to Kevin in Delaware. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Mike, Nally, Tyrone.
What's up, Kevin?
I want to get right to it, Mike. I got 2 points to make.
Kevin and Mike in the same, like within the same half hour. This is like legendary day. go ahead, Kev.
I want to talk about the young receivers versus the old receivers, and also want to talk about the fourth down and eight. Mm-hmm. Eight, I think it was fourth down and eight. The old receivers, when they come back, they should get spot duty and let the young boys play every game because. Deshaun and Jeffrey is not going to be here next year anyway. Let the young guys play. I think it's the changing of the guards anyway. Let them play. Saggart, when Gardner comes back, let him start. Don't bench Saggart, though. Give him spot play. Let him sit on the bench and think about his money. And when he comes in, you know, spot play, he may be able to make a play here and there. About that fourth and eight, Doug.
What did fourth and eight you talk about? Give me a point of the game.
I think
the field goal.
Quarter? No.
Oh.
It was a fourth and eight, and Carson threw the ball to 13. I can't think of his name right now.
Fulgham.
And it was bad as well. Yeah, Fulgham. But anyway,
yeah, it was third and five, and that pass was broken up. That led to the fourth down field goal attempt.
Okay. I thought that was a fourth
down. No, it was third and five, and he was fine. They finally covered him, and they broke up the play.
Okay.
And that led to the fourth and five.
Okay.
Where they kicked the field goal. Joe Hayden broke that play up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that Doug should let Carson sprint out and give him and put the pressure on the defense to either come up or stay back and give Carson the chance to make the first down.
Yeah, I agree. There could have been a better play call there, but I thought they thought they had the hot hand. Fulgham was getting open, so the play was to him, and Joe Hayden, you know, wised up and got on him.
Yeah, but I still think you got to let Carson have a chance to make it with his legs.
What did you think about the decision to go for the field goal then, Kev?
Yeah, yes, good.
Good? You thought it was good?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Mike.
All right,
buddy.
All right, there you go. All right, yeah, it was third and five. He threw it to the left side. To the right side, to Fulgham.
Yeah.
And Hayden was there.
Yeah, Hayden made a decent play. If he plays more, I think he'll do a better job shielding the body, because that was one that was lower on purpose to be a body catch.
Yeah.
And I think he's such a hands catcher, which is very noticeable, because that some of the other guys are body catchers that he went to reach. That was a time where you shield off, and I think you let that one hit you in the breadbasket. You probably have a better chance to catch it, but he hasn't played a lot of pro football, so I can't really knock him. He had a great game.
Yeah, you're right. So I got my snap, clap, clap up here, man.
You do?
I just brought it up. Hold on a second. There he is. See? There he is. It's a rhyming game. You hear it?
No.
You don't hear it?
No.
No.
All right, maybe you can call it up. It's SMP. Savion Glover, Rhymes and Taps. And this is the snap, tap, clap. I remember watching it with my daughter. No, he was by himself. I remember watching it with my daughter. And my daughter was all, snap, tap, clap.
Yeah.
And she's like a little girl at the time. Snap, clap.
I can't hear. I'm going to have to look it up.
We'll call it up. We'll take a break. Coming up next is Savion, the linebacker, is snap, tap, clap in his way from the practice squad. Mike Mussinelli Show is back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All that music means it is time for Around the NFL for today. Five thoughts I had as I watched NFL football and other sports. Around the NFL is brought to us by Farron Electric. From recessed lighting, chandelier, or fixture installation to home automation and landscape lighting, Farron Electric can give your home an upgrade inside and out. Schedule a consultation with my peeps at FarronElectric.com. That's F-A-R-R-R-Y-N Electric.com. And this is the edition of Around the NFL. Receivers the Eagles could have had, I call it. So let's start with number five. Now, I know we get a happy smile on our face with the emergence of Travis Fulgham, but the mind can wander. And my mind wandered as I was watching the Raiders-Chiefs game. First of all, Henry Ruggs. Taken earlier than the Eagles pick, but they liked him, and maybe they could have traded up. Listen to this call on Ruggs running about a 4.0 to the house with a bomb from Derek Carr.
Chiefs are blitzing. Carr throwing long down the center of the field. The pass will be caught. Henry Ruggs the third at the 20-yard line. 15 angling left with all the speed. Touchdown, Raiders. Three straight touchdowns. Another big play for the Raiders.
Dude, that was like...
And this is a 72-yard pass this time.
That was cartoon speed, if you saw that play. The Raiders shocked the Chiefs 40-32. But, of course, we're not done with this game. No, no, no. Just to rub it in, they had another wide receiver who chipped in for the Raiders. His name was Nelson Aguilar?
Carr steps up into the pocket and fires down the middle of the field for Aguilar. Makes the catch at the 20, burns two Chiefs defenders, and spins all the way into the end zone. This will be a touchdown for the Las Vegas Raiders and a bomb of 59 yards to the former Eagle, Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah, the former Eagle. See, that's the Chiefs announcer. You can tell it was a somber voice call by the Chiefs announcer, right? I love this when the other team scores and we get the other announcer. Number four. C.D. Lamb. What do you think? He's nice. Obviously, the big story in this game is that Dak Prescott suffered a gruesome injury, a dislocation, and a compound fracture. We don't wish that on anybody. But the Cowboys survived with Andy Dalton as the backup, and Lamb, as usual, all over the place. Eight catches, for 123 yards. That's 29 catches for Lamb already this season with an average of 15 yards per catch. But it was Michael Gallup who made the best snare in this game. An over-the-shoulder beauty near the sideline for 38 yards.
Snap back, four-man rush, deep ball down the right side for Gallup. Caught it at the 15-yard line. And then out of bounds. Wow.
That's right. That was a wow. Cowboys won it on a late field goal. They moved to first place in the division. But can that hold up with Andy the Red? Dalton, not Reed. Number three, Chase Claypool. All of the Eagles missed out. Kid looks like a stud. Big, fast, confident. Jalen Hurts, however, did get on the field for one play and got a participation trophy. But Claypool, damn. Here's the faithful game-breaking play.
Off the right hash, takes the snap, looks left, now throws over the middle. Wide open, caught at the 10. Claypool is going to cruise into the end zone. Touchdown, Pittsburgh. Roethlisberger diagnosed the coverage and the pressure upcoming. Oh, man. Did he make that look easy?
Yeah, he made it look easy because that Nathan Gary carrying him, you dimwit. In any event, so let's take inventory. So far, we've had Henry Ruggs, we've had Aguilar, we've had CeeDee Lamb, we've had Chase Claypool. Are we done? No, no, no. Number two, DK Metcalf. Now, this name that will it will kill us for a long time, like arrows in the sky from Braveheart, and we look up. And he had another great day yesterday. The Seahawks rally with 27 points in the second half to upend the Minnesota Vikings. Six more catches for 93 yards from Metcalf. And this diving six-yard catch that was the game-winning touchdown.
Russell, look out. He's going to fire inside. Reaching up. Making a catch. Does he hang on? He does. It's a touchdown. It's a touchdown, Seahawks. And it's Metcalf who reaches up and makes the catch. Crossing the field, making the catch in the middle of the end zone. And Russell finds him and throws a dart.
Now, that's a good call right there.
That's a good call.
It's Metcalf. All right, number one is not football. You Jordan people, listen up. LeBron James is number one. The Lakers ended the NBA bubble with a Game 6 championship win over the Miami Heat, and James led him there. Yep, he had another triple-double, 28, 14, 10, ho-hum, bagged his fourth finals MVP. He's now won championships with three different franchises. Does that not make him the ultimate team builder? Does that finally make him better than Jordan? Now, I say one more next year, and that premise is a lock. But here is a little LeBron sampler for you to close out this segment.
Nice feed inside to Rondo. Beautiful pass from James. That's his second assist. James fakes. James drives. Throws it up to Davis, and Davis banks it home. Good defense there from Davis. Forces a turnover, and James with the flush down the other end. Back to James. James goes inside. The flush and the foul.
Organization want their respect. Laker Nation want their respect. And I want my damn respect.
I want my damn respect. That's right. I want my damn respect. Give it to me. Jordan people are going crazy. And that ends around the NFL with little NBA thrown in. And it's brought to us by Farron Electric. From recessed lighting and chandelier or fixture installation to home automation and landscape lighting, Farron Electric can give your home an upgrade inside and out. Schedule a consultation at Farron Electric. That's F-A-R-R-Y-N Electric.com. You know people are going to rip LeBron and say, I want my damn respect. You know that's going to come out. He's going to rip for that.
Well, shame on him. Because he is, somehow he is still underrated.
One more, Tyrone. I'm coming to your side. One more next year.
I got you.
You can do it.
Listen, I'm already over there. I'm fine with anybody wants to come over later. But the people that are still being dismissive, they look dumb today.
Yeah.
That was not a great Lakers team.
No, it wasn't. We carried him. He's a franchise builder.
Look at him. Really is.
And you know what's funny is when you watch The Last Dance and you see all it took for Jordan to win. I'm just saying. It's just, you see what it took for Jordan to win and some of the moves and the firings and stuff. It seems like this guy, don't matter who the coach is, don't matter who the GM is, he goes ahead and finds a guy and figures it out.
The Church of Jordan people are supposed to be very benevolent souls, but they're not being happy with you right now.
Church of
Jordan. They're not happy. They're happy with us bringing this up.
They're squirming in the pew.
Just want to say
in their
that
pews.
If you think back you know, go back to BC if you so choose. A lot of people have picked up a round ball. And I'm saying that Michael Jordan is the second best human at doing that in the history of Earth. And yet they take that as a slight.
That's not going to make him feel any better.
You go back to the Roman Colosseum, to the Greeks. He's the second best to ever be born in the history of the world. And somehow that's a slight to say that Jordan is the second best going back to ancient Greece. I don't believe that that's disrespect at all, Church of Jordan.
I'm not so sure that they're going back to ancient Greece.
I'm going all the way back.
To ponder this argument.
To ancient Greece, and I'm saying that Ron's one and Jordan second in the history. Millions of people have picked up that around
ball.
And
that's no disgrace.
It's no disgrace.
Let's go to John in Reading. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's up, John?
So, you guys already discussed this, but I was just watching the game. I just noticed the huge disparity in drafting wide receivers between the two organizations. I made a list here of who the Steelers have drafted since 2000. It's Plaxico Burress, Santonio Holmes, Antoine Randall-El, Smith-Schuster, James Washington, Mike Wallace, Emmanuel Sanders, Martavis Bryant, Antonio Brown, and now this Claypool guy.
Yeah, and they've just done a good job. Yeah. they're really good. Yeah, they're a good drafting team in general. You know, they've had stability in the organization. It helps that they've had quarterback there for 100 years, that they just, you know, fit in guys that they know will work with him. They're smart.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes the Eagles, they just don't look like an NFL franchise. So it's like, it's just.
They look discombobulated. Crazy. When you look at the stability franchises, the Eagles certainly are one of those.
Right. So do you think Jeffrey's too attached to Howie here? Or, I mean, is he the one pulling the levers mostly on the draft? Or?
Yeah. I think Jeffrey is attached to him, and that's why he's not going to go anywhere after this year. But after next year, if things don't improve, I think that he's going to have to, like, the friendship's going to be secondary.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, everybody has to come and meet their maker eventually. If you own the team, it's not about friendship if it's starting to hurt your the pride that you have as the team owner.
Right, and your billion-dollar organization.
Yeah, and he's still making the same money. So, like, it's not like he's losing a dollar, but it's the pride. With these rich dudes, it's the pride. You own an NFL team, and you can't win anything. Now, they did win, so he's got some clout. But you know what I'm saying? If you're not considered one of the best, that hurts the money man.
Yeah, but come on, Jeffrey. I'm an average Joe here, and I just made a little list here from one article that I saw that shows a glaring hole between the two organizations. So,
yeah, I know. I hate these Steeler people, too. Grocery store Sunday, they're filled with Steeler jerseys. And what the hell, I would wake up in this town? Unbelievable.
Where they all
everywhere,
come from?
Everywhere I turn. I mean, it's like people getting ready for the game, buying snacks and stuff.
Yeah.
Steelers jerseys.
Yeah.
I got some in my neighborhood. Got the flags out front.
Yeah, they crawl out of the woodwork. It's weird.
Yeah, they had the flags out front this week.
Where have you been?
They could be transplanted people because a lot of people come to civilization after they've lived out there for a while. You know, it's okay. It could be that.
And that's a sneaky, terrible accent. Philly gets a bad rap.
Oh, for sure.
And you know who has it? Who's making me crazy every time he talks?
Who?
The coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Oh, my God. He's got the heaviest Pittsburgh accent I've ever heard.
Yeah,
they used to so annoy me at Penn State to hear these accents.
Stillers. It's like the E's.
It made me crazy.
Stillers.
I dated a girl. I couldn't stand her after a while because of it.
Oh my God,
I swear to God, I was like Seinfeld and the man hands. I couldn't listen to her talk anymore.
She was checking the other boxes, but you just couldn't get past that.
I couldn't get past the Pittsburgh accent.
No, and that's a deal breaker.
It's a sharp accent.
That was the girl I showed you the picture of that I took all around campus that modeled with her with the carnation in her teeth.
Oh, that's her?
She had
a terrible Pittsburgh accent. It turned me off after a while.
She was lovely.
She was
lovely. I know. Well, what are you going to do?
Tall and thin, model-esque. And then the voice would go. Anyway.
Wow.
It's 106320975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's 3:45 on the Mike Missinelli Show. Brian Westbrook joining us at 4 o'clock. His views on the game and more of his bragging about how he did for this weekend of picks. If he's 2-1, that means he's outstanding 9-2-1.
Yes.
Pretty good, man.
He's on a roll.
He can buy a new horse farm.
And I can tell you,
being up that much.
He's really paying attention.
Yeah.
Because he texted me last night.
Yeah.
Did Mike pick? I said, no, he didn't pick that.
He's
like, did Mike pick? I said, no. He didn't. When the 49ers were losing, he thought you picked the 49ers.
He's ultra competitive when it comes
to that. Yeah, he is.
And then he was complaining to me via text about the Vikings, and they were blowing it. And you know, here he's still covering with ease. I need him to go in over.
Yeah, he had them plus 7. So
yeah, I need
that
him
last
to go
drive.
A really bad losing streak. He's becoming insufferable.
He will.
It's only going to get worse.
I know he will because it's in his character at some point to start losing. I just know it. But he is on a roll right now.
It's in his character to start losing.
At some point, it is.
Shots fired.
Oh, listen,
he deserves every bit of it, that Westbrook.
Let's go to Ted Fishtown. Ted, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ted.
Hey, hello, Mike. How are you,
What's
buddy?
Up, Ted?
I'm glad to hear you and your little studio family, Tyrone and Allie, are all happy and healthy.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, we have been in this studio the whole time. Except
hey,
for
2020.
A brief period where Natalie was hanging on the sofa.
She did fine. She actually set the stage for everybody else.
Yeah, she had the little animation, which was cute.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, 2020 gets like 10 asterisks beside it.
Correct.
But quickly, before I get on the Eagles, I just want to quick shout out to Joe Morgan, a tremendous player and even more an amazing person.
Yeah, I never had a chance to meet Joe. You know, he was here for a little bit with the Phils. Great player, Hall of Fame player, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. He was a little before my time, but I did watch him telecast, which was amazing.
Yeah, had a big red machine, man. That was in the year the Phillies were thought they were good. And they ran up against a big red machine. Didn't work out.
I remember that.
Yeah.
83, right?
No, it was 78. This was right before the Phillies actually won it. They finally get over the hump when they got rid of the manager. But they lost in consecutive NLCSs to the Dodgers, the Reds, and somebody else. I forget. Maybe it was the Reds twice.
You're making me want to hang up, Mike.
Yeah, I know. It was annoying.
No, I'm teasing, but as far as the Eagles game yesterday, everybody keeps giving Earth a hard time, but as I was watching the game, I noticed a few things. First of all, none of the passes to Earth were to him. They were in the ground, above him, or behind him. Secondly, when there was a 3rd and 5, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 9, whatever, he was left to block, you know, and he had to pass protect.
Mm-hmm.
During that play, I was like, "What is going on here?"
Yeah.
And clearly it was Peterson, you know, making a rash, illogical, you know what I mean, plays.
Yeah, need to hear more from Doug's explanations. I think when you hear Doug these days, you kind of like chuckle.
Yeah,
you know, all due respect, because he doesn't know really. He's hominid. Yeah, he's double talking. When you know how he repeats, like he does a lot of that in his pressers now.
If he came to me with a bag of beans and they asked me to buy him, I'd laugh at him.
No, well, you could buy. I would hesitate to buy a bag of beans off him. It might be good beans.
And also,
could be magic beans. You plant them up, you got a beanstalk.
Yeah, how about that? You know what I mean? It could be a castle can grow on.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Under the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as far as the defense, I really enjoyed when Juju was mocking and taunting Mills.
Yeah, he was. He had it all over. Mills couldn't say anything back either. He was ripping
him
apart. Yeah,
he's like in Ohio. Cover.
Yeah, I felt sorry for Mills. He just had to sit there and take that.
Well, you know what? They put a lot of stock in him, and I lost mine a long time ago.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, Howie needs to be called out to the, you know what I mean, to the whole board, man. Take your tie off, take your jacket off, and let's get some answers.
Yeah.
You know, you got a lot of fans, a lot of people who love this team. Let's do something.
I got you, Ted. Joe Morgan, it's in the Big Red Machine was ferocious. And they didn't even have any pitching. Like, I try to remember those teams where they had almost a Hall of Famer at every position, right?
Yeah.
So this started with Tony Perez, Morgan, Davey Concepcion, and Ray Knight.
Right.
The catcher was Bench. In the outfield was George Foster, who was a masher. Cesar Geronimo was the center fielder, and Ken Griffey was the right fielder.
That's a squad.
It is a squad.
Yeah.
And they had always had relief pitching that would save them at the end. Because their starting pitching, they had Don Gullett, who was like their best as a left-hander, but he wasn't that great.
Yeah, I don't really know him at all.
Jack Billingham, like their starting rotation. But then they came in the end, they came with Raleigh Eastwick, who then the Phillies got later, and the left-handed guy that went to, he went up to Seattle. What the hell is his name? He was a blonde-haired guy, and both of them were killers. They would just come in and just ice you. The hell's that guy's name, the left-handed guy? I can't remember who the left-handed guy was. But
I only knew about the hitters. I never even hear about the pitchers.
They had two relief pitchers that would just ice the game at the end. Raleigh Eastwick was one of them. And the other guy was a lefty with curly blonde hair. Somebody will give it to me, because every time I ask a question, somebody's get the answer within 3 seconds. Like, the third deck of the Titanic was the steerage deck.
Yeah. I should have known
Love
that movie.
Leonardo and, what was the Italian kid's name?
Fabrizio.
I didn't think people actually could love that movie.
I didn't love it. It was too sappy.
I didn't think it was possible for, I know it's like people like it like as like a kid, or I didn't think a grown adult could actually, seriously, I'd never, Natalie's the first person I've heard say I love the movie.
Of course. Natalie.
In the modern era.
Women loved the Titanic.
Yeah.
It was a love story.
Yeah.
Is it?
It's a great love story.
Draw me like one of your French girls.
It's a tragic love story, but it's a great love story.
It's definitely not a love story.
Well, yeah.
Because it's proven that she could have moved over.
No.
That was proven.
No.
Mythbusters, it was proven.
She couldn't have moved over.
You always go with the reality narrative instead of just flowing with the love part of it.
There's no love without reality. That's the problem with love out there in these streets now. If you guys aren't grounded in reality, that love ain't going to last.
It's a movie. It's why
reality.
You sit down and watch a Nicholas Sparks movie.
Yeah.
It's not real either.
It's like, you know, like The Notebook.
Yeah, and The Notebook. I got some issues with The Notebook as well.
Why?
From watching The Notebook, I got some issues with a lot of these movies, is all I'm saying.
What did Allie do?
He's such a cynic.
I know.
First of all, I kind of agree with him because I don't watch him. But I know what he's saying. But anyway, at 4 o'clock, I forgot to mention this because this is a big thing that's coming up. You know, we've been doing the Fanatic football poll for the last several weeks. Well, at 4 o'clock, we're announcing the winner of all the people who qualify for the grand prize. We're announcing the winner at 4 o'clock. You have it in a hermetically sealed envelope.
Yes, airtight.
So at 4, I'm going to, you're going to bring it in here. I'm going to open it.
Uh-huh.
Now, am I going to announce the guy's name or what?
You're going to announce the guy's name. Then we're going to, talk to Westbrook.
And B. Westbrook, come on. And then afterwards, we're going to have the guy on, possibly?
Possibly. It will be up to the winner. Now, just so people out there know, we're picking from there. There were 5 finalists. So Dylan's over there with 5 phone numbers.
Okay.
Once you open up that envelope, Dylan will know which number to call.
Okay.
So it's been down to 5. At this moment, we're down to 5. When Mike makes the announcement,
I gotcha.
We will have the winner, and Dylan will call that winner.
And the winner, of course, wins this. Beer for a year, courtesy of Corona. 24-hour rental of a Rolls-Royce Wraith, courtesy of Imagine Lifestyles Luxury Rentals. The Phillies triple play. Aaron Nola autographed ball, Reese Hoskins autographed jersey, Bryce Harper autographed bat, courtesy of our friends at T-Mobile. Your ticket to the Phillies. A Pullin Pro PR 121-inch snowblower from Paulie Moyer and Sons. You're going to need that this winter. Peter Laviolette autograph, mini helmet, little guy guess. Godfather trivia game. Fire pit from Landis Block and Concrete. Talking teddy bear from the movie Ted 2. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 for PS4. Jamie Lynch's James Thrash bobblehead doll, a full year supply of snacks from her snack food. Free beer for a year, free snacks for a year. And finally, $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. We'll announce the winner in about 5 minutes on the Mike Missinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4 o'clock. And that means one thing. It is time to announce the winner of our Fanatic football poll. And we've been going this for many weeks. Here comes Nat with the envelope. The Fanatic football poll has been presented by Parks Casino, sports betting app. New users used promo code FANATIC for a risk-free bet of $500. Hello, Nat. Thank you very much. There it is. There it says it. Fanatic football pool winner info. All right. So you must be 21 in PA gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We already told you what the prizes are. So let me, this hermetically sealed envelope. It is very hermetically sealed. So no one has seen this. I have not seen it. And we have five finalists. And this is the winner that's been selected by, at random, by the way, for the big prize package. All right, let me open it.
Oh, man.
Here.
So exciting.
Okay, Fanatic football pool winner. His name is John Klimowicz. Klimowicz. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Klimowicz. John Klimowicz from Lafayette Hill is the winner of the following free beer for a year, courtesy of Corona. 24-hour rental Rolls-Royce Wraith, courtesy of Imagine Lifestyles. The Phillies Triple Play. Autographed stuff. Pool and Pro. Snowblower. All kinds of tchotchke. A full year supply of snacks from her snack foods. Plus, $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Hopefully, we connect with John in a little bit. But right now, it is time to get an analysis of the Eagles' loss on Sunday, which was really kind of... stuck in our crawl with a play that resulted in the touchdown on a defensive coordinator mistake. Let's bring in the man that you hear on the Fanatic pregame show on 97.5 The Fanatic and also with me on Fridays from 4 to 5 on our Football Friday. And we bring you him tonight, today, brought to us by Rudder Roofing. Brian Westbrook joins us. Brian, what is your opinion of what happened yesterday with the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well, first of all, Mike, I mean, I think going into the game, we knew that our team was a little bit overmatched based on all the injuries, based on everything that has happened with our football team. And, you know, they put up a decent fight, and you know, they got outmatched. They got outmatched by a better football team, and there were some things, some mistakes made secondary-wise. There were some mistakes made defensively that kind of helped along the way. But in the end, we didn't have enough firepower against a much better football team.
Let's look at the defense, Brian. And two things I want to bring to you. The one thing is that the third down conversion of Ben Roethlisberger, that's 11 of 15 on third down. A lot of those were fueled by some really bad penalties that made that third down a little shorter.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there were some situations where As a team, we have to be a little bit more disciplined. I think as a team, we have to be more prideful in the things that we do. And, you know, I think part of that is Jim Schwartz making sure that everybody on that defensive side of the ball is on the same page. And that's going to be important no matter what. And there were times yesterday where it just didn't seem like the entire team, as far as the defensive side, was on the same page. And of course, you can't win those types of games against better opponents if you're making those types of simple mistakes. And penalties are part of the simple mistakes that make it easy for another team to go ahead and get the first down. And, you know, there were other times where I'm watching the tape, Mike, and I'm saying, okay, it's 3rd and 4, and I'm seeing our DBs are playing at 5 and 6 yards deep. I mean, those are easy throws for a veteran quarterback and any receiver. I mean, if you're getting off 3 or 4 or 5 yards off the line of scrimmage and you're basically giving up quick slants, those are 4 or 5 yard plays. Those are easy first downs for Ben Roethlisberger right over the middle. He's big enough to see it. He understands. He's a veteran quarterback. He's been around enough to understand exactly the type of coverage he's getting there. And those are easy throws and catches for him. And that's why he was so successful on third down.
Well, then whose fault is that? Is that the defensive coordinator? I mean, we were told this year he wanted to play more man-to-man, wanted to get a little more aggressive. So how's that happen?
Well, yeah, no, there is a defensive coordinator's problem. I mean, if you're giving up that type of success on third down, of course it's a defensive coordinator's problem. It's his issue. It's his personnel. It's his defenses. It's his issue. Now, could they have played it a little bit differently as far as the individual coverage from the players? Of course they could have played it a little bit differently. But at the end of the day, it's the defensive coordinator who is going to design those defenses. And, you know, just think about this. When you watch Kansas City against the Patriots, they made an effort to take away Travis Kelce. They made an effort to say, you know, if you're not going to beat us with the deep ball, you're going to have to dink and dunk your way down the field. And so they rushed 3 people and they dropped 8. That was a defensive coordinator's decision to slow a team down. Jim Schwartz has those same ability to say, okay, here's what we're willing to give up to you. We're willing to give up these plays, but we're not willing to give up these other plays. And unfortunately, the plays that Jim Schwartz is willing to give up are first downs. And that's just not going to be acceptable when we're playing the way that we played yesterday.
Let's look at the play. All right. Now, they line up 5 wide. And you could everybody was watching and goes, oh, no. Because there was an immediate mismatch. Claypool would have a monster game. And certainly there was a mismatch there. Now, they had a lot of time to figure that out because there was a stoppage of play, like what kind of things they would do. The head coach gave the credit more to Ben Roethlisberger. I think he's trying to bail out his defensive coordinator. But how is that alignment allowed to happen?
Well, there's a couple of different ways to play that style of defense. One, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you're going to fool Ben Roethlisberger, but what you can do is give him less time to figure out what play he wants to get in. The way that you kind of figure that out and fool him and give him less time is by disguising the defense. You know where position your defenders know where they need to get to, so maybe you disguise it. So instead of lining up in the position where you're saying we're playing quarters cover or cover 2 or cover 5, whatever coverage is going to be, you line up in a different position, and then you stem to that area so that he can't get a play off and understand exactly what the defense is giving him at the snap of the ball. Ben was able to step up to the line of scrimmage, direct Claypool exactly where he wanted to go, snap the ball, not have any pressure, then throw the ball. He did exactly what you wanted him to do. It's almost like a look that you see against the scout team in practice. At this point, Ben was able to step up and change the play and then throw the ball that he wanted. At some point, the defense, one, could have adjusted, went to a different defense. Two, of course, they could have called a timeout once they saw the formation that the Steelers were in and they knew they didn't have an opportunity to cover it. Or three, you could have just said, if you're Rodney McLeod, I'm going to take this guy that's been so hot. I'm the guy that's been tearing us up all game long. I think he had 3 touchdowns at that time. I'm just going to check him. I'm not going to worry about anybody else. I'm going to make sure that I stay with him. Instead, Rodney, for whatever reason, he leaned to the outside a little bit, outside the hashes, and Claypool basically went right up the middle over top of the linebacker, and it was an easy throw and catch. Those types of plays, you have to make it hard on the quarterback, hard on the receiver to catch it. That was way too easy to be able to beat us with. And you know, I thought the defensive coordinator, and on some level, I thought the players on the defensive side of the ball for not recognizing where your threats are at. They should know better than that.
Yeah, I agree. Rodney McLeod is kind of escaping blame here, but he's enough of a veteran to figure that play out. All right, let's move on.
He's a much better player than that. I mean, he should have figured that out before the play got snapped.
Let's go to the field goal try. Were you in approval of that decision to try to kick the 57-yarder, or would you have done something differently?
Yeah,
That's such a hard one. I, you know, without knowing the field conditions, without knowing the wind and all those things, I think it's hard to say yes or no. I didn't necessarily have a problem with it at the time that it went down. It wasn't something that jumped out at me like, hey, they shouldn't have had a field goal attempt. I think if you're Doug, you're trying to put points on the board. And you also understood how hard it is to move the ball against that defense at certain points in that game. So I didn't necessarily have a problem with the field goal.
The only problem is there's never been a field goal kicked more than 53 yards in the history of that stadium. So well, I guess
that's an issue. So, but here again, that's the analytics side of things that someone should be yelling in the ear.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug, when we go play in Heinz Field, Dave Phipps, the special teams coordinator,
we can't
get past this point. If we get past this point on the field, then we can't kick. We need to punt or we need to go for it. That's the communication between the coaches. And I think Dave Phipps is a very good special team coach, and I know they have a good communication, but it seems like a coach's oversight if you get to the point where you're 4 yards past where they've ever kicked the longest kick in that stadium. You should know that as a head coach.
Two quick things, and I'll let you go. There's an up and down here with receivers. So Fulgham was the up, obviously, with 10 catches, and looks like he can run a route and get open. And obviously it's going to get tougher for him from this point on. But the other one is the lack of production from Ertz and why he looks like he's kind of in a fog. So how do you see those two developments?
Well, Fulgham has played well. He's made the most of his opportunities. And every year, just throughout the league, not just here on the Eagles, there are going to be players that are going to get an opportunity and make the most of their opportunity. And Fulgham seems to be one of those guys. Now, just like you mentioned, he'll see much different defense now that he's kind of on the radar. People will begin to say, okay, we'll just take him away. We'll see how he plays against better competition and moving forward. But the other part that I think that you brought up that makes that we have to figure out what has happened to Zach Ertz, what's happened to the relationship with him and Carson. His effort level seems very low. He doesn't seem that energetic, same type of person. The only thing I could point to, Mike, I mean, and everyone has already said it, has been the contract. You know, I know how money situations affect players. I also know how it feels like, hey, man, the team doesn't want to pay me my money. They don't respect what I do here. And mentally, it affects you. And I hope that's not the situation with Zach, but I just can't see his skills eroding that much that he can't be involved in the offense. I saw Chad Lewis, that was not a fast guy, but knew how to get open, similar to Zach Ertz, be very effective catching the ball in the NFC Championship game against the Falcons back in my day. And he was nowhere close to the athletic ability of Zach Ertz at this point in his career. And so I can't say that his skill has made him not be able to get open. Obviously, teams know how to try to stop him. They game plan to stop him. But Doug Peterson has a way to get him the football. The relationship with Carson has me wondering if there has been something that has come between those two. And again, I don't know. But if they want to be successful, they have to find a way to get Zach Ertz going a little bit. And if I'm Doug Peterson, I'm not wondering that. I'm going into my veteran tight end that I've had a lot of success with, that I won a Super Bowl with, and saying, hey, man, what's the deal? We want to get you involved. It seems like you're not as enthused to be out there with us. Is there a problem? And once I figure that out, then we can try to get towards solving that issue.
All right. That sounds good. Now, I'm announcing here that I am benching myself for next Friday for the selections. When I go 0-3, it's a slump, and I need to sit on the bench and watch the game. So Tyrone will be my replacement on Friday to make my picks, since I had a terrible week and you were 2-1. I'm hoping that Tyrone can get me back on a straight and narrow.
Not only did you have a bad week, you went forward and tried to jinx me by picking the same selection that I did, and you basically did jinx me. The doggone Cowboys had an opportunity to win that game by the points.
No, it wasn't. 2-1 wasn't enough for him. Now he's worried about the game that I supposedly jinxed him.
Right.
That's what he does. Listen, man. You better stay in the lead, because all this crap I got to take from you, if I ever get the lead again, I'm going to be insufferable.
Well, that's why I got to talk to us now. Just by the crazy chance that you get a lead, then I know it's going to be tough.
All right, man. Great talking. We'll talk to you Friday. There he is. Brian Westbrook brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Window Siding, and Decking. They will protect your house. All right, without further ado, I think we have our winner. His name is John Klimovich from Lafayette Hill. John, are you with us?
I am, Mike. How are you?
John, congratulations. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Very close. Klimovich or Klimovich, if you do it.
Klimovich. I like it. I'm doing call it Polish. Klimovich. I like that. All right. So you're from Lafayette Hill. And you hung in there. What was the trivia question that you answered to get yourself in the grand prize pool?
Trivia question was, who was the football player turned magician?
Okay, you got the Dornbos answer.
Correct.
Okay, all right. So now, you know what you win here? Is it all the stuff that's in the pool?
Did you throw some more stuff in there?
Do you have any small children or grandchildren?
I got three of them, 5, 3, and a
Well, there you go. So you not only get to your prizes, you get this really cool baby pool. It's got a football field and goalposts.
Outstanding.
All right, so you win beer for a year. Courtesy of the Caroni family of beers. Cases of Corona Extra, Corona Light, Corona Premier, Corona Seltzer. You get a 24-hour of a rental of a Rolls-Royce Wraith, courtesy of Imagine Lifestyles. What are you going to do with that?
Take the wife out. She deserves it.
Oh, I'm taking the wife out of Rolls. I like it. The Phillies triple play with all kinds of autographed stuff. A snowblower. Do you currently have a snowblower?
One that needs to be updated, so I'll go ahead.
Well, you got it updated. Now, you got all these little things, the Pierre Laviolette autograph mini helmet, the Godfather tribute game, fire pit from Landis Block and Concrete for the backyard is cool.
Outstanding.
A talking teddy bear from the movie Ted. I'm sure one of your grandchildren will love that. The Pro Skater 1 and 2 for PS4, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Did you ever play that in the day?
Of course. That was one of the biggest games around.
There you go. You can go back with that. The James Thrash bobblehead doll, which means absolutely nothing. A full year's supply of snacks, though, from her snack foods. And $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook.
Beautiful.
John, congratulations, man.
Thank
and
you, so
you,
much.
You, really became, you were a survivor. So have fun with all those gifts and have the grandchildren have some fun in that pool. Thanks for playing along.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, there he is. John Klimovich. Anglicized, but it's John Klimovich if it's Polish.
I'm happy for John.
There you go.
Yeah,
look at that.
He sounded like a good winner.
He did.
Yeah.
Very good winner.
Perfect with the little kids, and he gets that really cool pool.
That's correct.
It's amazing.
That pool's going to be fun for the kids.
I want that pool.
Sure.
It's a great pool.
It is a great pool. All right. 610-632-0975. You know, I realized that I went down to line up with the Cincinnati Reds Red Machine. You know what I forgot?
Pete Rose.
I forgot Pete Rose. I'm an idiot. Pete Rose actually played third base. Ray Knight didn't take over until Pete left for the Phillies.
Oh.
So he played first, third base, and Dan Dreesen, a left-handed swinging hitter, was their first baseman in all those years. And the guy I was thinking of was Raleigh Eastwick and Will McEnany. And they also had Pedro Borbone. You remember Pedro Borbone?
No,
Pedro. Pedro Borbone was a hot-tempered Latino reliever, and he almost kicked my butt once at a Phillies game.
Why?
Well, I was there, and I was with some. We got there early with a bunch of friends. You know, I was a teenager, maybe 14. And
Mikey miss.
And so we're sitting there. We were just watching him warm up and run sprints and stuff. And so Pedro Borbone is walking from the bullpen into the dugout area, and he's passing. There's like a line of kids, you know, say, hey, Pedro, Pedro, and then trying to get an autograph from Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
Pedro just like blows him off. And so I yell at Pedro before he ducks in the dugout, come on, Pedro, sign for the kids, man. What's up? And so about 5 to 10 minutes later, I'm looking over here. We're still down there. I'm looking over here at something else I hear. You got a problem with me, man?
Oh.
Nuh-uh. Oh. No, he
That's
didn't.
I swear to God. It's Pedro Borbone.
What?
He goes, I knock your bleeping teeth out, he says to me.
My goodness.
I swear to God. He wasn't playing game. I go, what? I go, I'm just asking you to sign the autograph for the kids, man. They're screaming for you. They love you. And then I finally go, all right, you want to hit me, God?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Mike.
I swear to God. He came out of the dugout, and he came over. He goes, what did Babio say, man?
That's not how happened. Stop it.
I swear to God.
And then what did he do?
He didn't do anything. I said, you can hit me, but I'll have a big lawsuit on you.
Yeah, I'm going to sue.
And he like stopped in his tracks.
I love that you challenged him.
He had the red ass. Pedro.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's funny because I was looking in another direction.
Yeah.
And I heard the voice in front of me go, what you say, man?
That is wild.
I can verify that. I get my friend John was with me at the time. He emails me all the time. Like, but he remembers it because he brings it up to me every night.
That's a great story.
It's a good story, yeah.
He says, I knock your freaking teeth out.
Yikes, man.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah.
Well, it's tough there in them streets. 610-632-0975. Mike Mussinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Twitter poll time. Political update time. And it's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie, what are the numbers changing?
Alrighty, Mike. Over 1,900 votes on this one today. Who is to blame for the Steelers' final drive? 8% say Peterson. 78% say Schwartz. 12% say Gary. 2% say the pass rush.
Yeah, you can't blame Gary. Really?
I mean, I can.
Gary can't help it that he's slower than Chase Claypool.
No.
And he's not going to be able to cover any wide receiver in an individual matchup.
Right.
So it's not his fault.
It's not his fault, but he's out there, and he also can't cover tight ends.
No, well, that's another issue. See, not in this situation, we can't blame him for not being able to cover tight ends, which he should be able to.
Yeah.
And transport that to this.
No,
it's a wide receiver.
I'm blaming Schwartz, and I actually feel bad for Gary because I'm starting to wonder if he's terrible or is he a guy who has some athleticism that's struggling who's getting bad coaching. I no longer trust that the coaches can coach guys up.
I don't think he's any good. I gotta be honest with you. I don't see any ability that would make me think he's actually getting coached poorly. And he's
well, Bruce Hill made a bunch of plays on Sunday for Miami against the 49ers, a bunch of plays. And he was just here, wasn't making those plays. It's mounting as we get deeper in the season. Because it's easy to say, oh, it was a lucky week. Oh, it was a lucky month. Now we're on to the second five weeks of luck. At some point, these coaches are doing something different than these guys, than those coaches are. And it's a few guys. So maybe through 5 weeks, it's a fluke. But if it gets to 8, 10, 12, 16 weeks, at that point, it's not a fluke anymore.
Listen, if guys like Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas and Gruger Hill turn into really high-caliber players in this league, then I'll blame the coaching. But everybody has a day.
5 days. Yeah. This is talking about 5 weeks.
Everybody has 5 weeks.
Not everybody has 5 weeks.
See, if you have 5 years, is the test.
No, at this point, I'd sign for 5 weeks. I've had the worst linebacker play in the league. But that doesn't mean
they're really good. They're just having a temporary, success.
I don't know. I have to, I don't know. Either someone on this team has to play good, or those guys have to start playing bad, or otherwise I'm blaming these coaches.
I agree. Coaching has not distinguished itself. But I don't know. I always think that players rise up if they have talent.
But if you're telling a zone guy to play man, and the other team says, hey, zone guy, play zone, and you're really good at playing zone.
True. All right, let's go to Glenn Olden. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike, love the show, first time. Hey, Mike, I'm probably the only guy in the tri-state area that's not upset about the Eagles' loss yesterday.
Yeah.
I want your opinion on something. How many times yesterday did the camera pan in on Mike Tomlin, who wore a shirt that said Pittsburgh is tougher than cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Like every 2 minutes in the United States of America, there's somebody diagnosed with cancer.
You have to get the context of it. James Conner had cancer, and he was a cancer survivor. That's what the context of that T-shirt is. They've had a cancer fundraising thing in honor of James Conner.
Well, I mean,
you misread it. You misread the situation, bro.
Okay. All right. I didn't know Conner beat cancer.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, that's a very well publicized situation.
Okay, so they wore it for him. They didn't bring it up on the, you know, TV. But usually he's got a black shirt on and a cross. I always thought he was in the state.
Yeah, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. They have the Conner Cancer. There's a foundation there. So that's all in honor of that.
Okay, one last thing, Mike. Mm-hmm. One last thing. Do you think eventually when it's time, they're going to retire Nick Foles' number in the rafters at the Link? Yes or no?
No, why would they?
Won you a Super Bowl. 101 years.
That's not retirement worthy. Careers are retirement worthy.
Oh, look, here's the thing. The league's been around, what, 101 years?
Come on, man. That's seriously. Come on, Mike.
Oh, anyway, Pat Riley retired Michael Jordan's number, 23, down in the South Beach.
Michael Jordan is, I don't know what he did, but he's the greatest player so far that's ever played, and that's different status than Nick Foles. That's like, would the New York Giants retire Doug Hosteller's number?
No. Jeff Hosteller, no.
Jeff Hosteller.
No. That call was disgusting. Everything about that call was terrible. It's a cancer charity. You call out against a cancer charity. Mm-hmm. He's the first person I've ever heard do that.
Yeah.
Why would they wear that? Because, like, you wouldn't Google that before you called a complaint?
Yeah, you got it. You didn't understand the situation.
Come on.
All right, let's go to Dante in the Northeast. Dante, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dante.
Yo, what's up, Mike? You missed me.
What's up, Dante? Well? Gotcha, buddy.
Okay, cool. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of Jim Schwartz. I'm tired of Nathan Jerry. I'm tired of his defense. I'm tired of his Wyandotte. I'm tired of everything. it's sickening at this point. And I've listened to everybody's show today, and I don't think anybody's pointed this out, but the play that they considered an interception but was really a drop pass from the Eric Ebron play before that touchdown pass to Claypool.
Yeah.
To me, it looked like a catch and fumble by Ebron. I'm not sure if you noticed it.
Yeah, I don't think it was a catch because he didn't make a football move before it was snatched away from him.
He did get both feet down, but
you got to make a football move. Which is you have to turn your body and make a step towards a football play after you catch it. He clearly didn't do that.
No, I got you. And just to this Nick Foles Society BS, man, can we just stop it already, please? Like, can you see, you can see how well Carson has played when he has a receiver that can make plays for him. Can we just stop the whole Nick Foles thing, please?
Well, it's never going to stop. You know that. I mean, we just had a guy say his number should be retired.
Oh, my God.
Come on, man. It's not enough. Like, he's got a fake statue out there, right? God. Yeah, you got to retire his number now?
God, this is sick thing to stomach.
I mean, you know what? It's fun. It's now funny to me that this reverence for Nick Foles. And you know what? Knock yourself out. If that's the way you feel. Like, I'm tired of fighting against it. Because I know what it was. It was a nice thing. He did a nice thing. Well, we make it so much bigger than it really is worth being made bigger. I know. He was the quarterback. They won the Super Bowl. I got it.
I think
it was a temporary part of success here.
Brandon Graham's going to be in the top five in sacks in franchise history. He made the strip sack, which to me was the biggest play in the Super Bowl. And it's not a lock that he gets his number retired.
Right.
And he's a long-time Eagle at this point who made a big play. Zach Ertz is breaking all the tight end records in franchise history. I don't know if it's a lock that he gets his number retired. He caught the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yet, the guy, like, he was here two stints that were okay. Like, this is the oddest thing in the world. to me because it's only him.
Yeah.
It's like no one else gets any love.
I've stopped fighting against it, though. I accept it.
Well, fine with the love. I'm saying, can we spread some of the love? We don't give any of the other players on that team the benefit of the doubt for 1 second.
You're not going to ever escape it because you're anti-Folesian society. You hate Folesian society. It's already it's ingrained now in your body. So you never be able to go, I get it.
I wish I could, like,
loathe the Folesian society.
I wish I was a guy who was a geneticist and I could test the DNA of the Folesian society and find the fraud chromosome.
and isolate the fraud chromosome
and remove it. And think if we could have all this great world without any frauds. Called like the Johnson procedure where a baby's born and you check the fraud.
Johnson procedure.
Yeah, you check for fraud, the fraud chromosome, and if your baby has it, you take it out early.
You write a book, The Johnson Procedure.
Yeah.
It's like, what was it? Who wrote the Triple Helix, which was the DNA book?
Yeah.
Remember the Triple Helix?
Yeah.
That's when we first got experience with DNA.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to read it and do a book report on it.
Oh, wow.
And it was so scientific, I got lost. The Triple Helix was done by, let's see, it was
Henry Etzkowitz and Loet Leidersdorf. Loet Leidersdorf.
Yeah, it was the Triple Henry Etzkowitz. Yeah, that's who did it.
Leidersdorf.
This will be fun. It's a science book. Oh my God, I'm so lost.
The
hell are you even talking
about?
It's
so complicated.
Cyberneticist.
Yeah, that's insane.
Uh-huh.
All right, wow. Let's go Aaron on a cell. Aaron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Aaron.
Aaron Brown for all the dog.
What's
I
up?
I got a question about the Sixers. The Sixers going to get Paul George?
No.
They're not going to get him? Another question. I picked the Sixers to be in the finals 2021 against the Lakers. They're going to win it.
You think the Sixers are going to make that much of an upgrade?
Yeah, Doc Rivers going to get a roller. They got the right coach. I'm glad Brett Brown's out of here.
Yeah, well, I think they have the right coach, too. I don't know if it's possible to put it together where they're going to win a title next year. They got a lot of work to do.
I believe so.
How do you believe that? How do you think they're going to get good enough to do that?
I think he's going to get a shooter. He might get that ball from the Sixers. What that ball... The Sixers traded Elgin Brand, traded Shannon, I forget his last name.
Landry Shamet?
Yeah, Landry Shamet. I think the Sixers need to go back and get him. And he's going to get Shane Miller shooting right. And he's going to get Ben Simmons going to get that jump shot down. Ben Simmons get that jump shot down. Sixers go. Sixers going to win it all next year.
Yeah, I'm not feeling you, Aaron.
But you ain't feeling me, man.
Nathan Shamet's not a good enough player to make a difference. A. B. You actually think that the magic is going to happen? Ben Simmons is going to start shooting jump shots?
Yeah.
You do, huh? Well, why? Because Doc Rivers is there? Yeah. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen that quick, but we'll see. Hey, listen, man. Thanks for checking in.
All right. All right. Tell DeMond, give us Aaron Brown, say hello.
I don't even know what that last part was.
He said, tell Devon I said hi.
Oh, Devon, tell Devon.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll tell Devon.
Aaron said hi.
Is that a buddy of Devon's, maybe?
It must
be. Check in with Devon at 6.
No, they're not the best of friends.
Oh, they're not?
No.
Oh.
Well, I mean, Devon's friends of everybody. I've heard of Aaron before.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
He's polarizing around these parts.
He's what?
Aaron is?
Polarizing around the parts among those who know who he is.
Why so?
How do you know he is? As a caller? Or do you know him?
As a caller.
As a caller.
He's a polarizing caller. He just doesn't usually call this show.
Okay. You've talked to him on Saturdays?
No, I wouldn't have that.
He's being very, very.
Well, I don't want to talk. It's one thing when a guy has it coming, like a steal or somebody. Aaron is one call. I mean, he doesn't really have it coming.
All right. I wasn't aware of Aaron.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. These breaks we take at this time are like 3 minutes. I think they are exactly 3 minutes. So we'll be right back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, Mike Misnale Show, and it's Football Monday. And Football Monday on The Fanatic is brought to us by Brian Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Brian Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors will do whatever it takes to keep you comfortable in every season with flexible financing options for every budget. To find a Pierce Phelps Bryant dealer near you, visit nopaybryant.com. You know, tonight is the Inside the Bird Show. Jeff Mosher, Adam Kaplan from 6 to 8. That's presented by DraftKings. And coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, Ron Jaworski at 5 o'clock for his assessment of Sunday's game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Eagles are now 1-3-1. They're going to be 1-4-1 next week. The Cowboys won. If you look at the schedules, if you can find a scenario where the Eagles can get more wins than the Cowboys, I'd be glad to hear it because I'm not feeling it. And to me, this looks like every bit of a 5-10-1 year.
I think they win more than
which
that.
Is actually good, because if they win a division with a 6-9-1, that messes up the draft pick, right? They missed the playoffs 5-10-1. That puts them in a better draft spot.
Yes, I don't trust who's going to be doing the draft.
Well, I can't look at that. I got to look at the spot. You know, the spot's important.
Yeah, the spot's important.
Well, they win a division, and they negate the spot.
Yeah, but the good teams, I tell you what, the Chiefs find guys. The Seahawks find guys. They make the playoffs every year. They still find guys. The good
teams don't have to draft early to get them. Listen, it's like the best percentages. I'd rather have the spot, and then it's up to you to make the right pick. But the spot gives you an advantage.
It gives other teams. I want to believe in the Eagles. I'm having a tough time with that.
All right. I hear you. Let's go from one Aaron to the other. Aaron from Norristown checking in. What's up, Aaron?
Michael, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
That's good. Hey, that defense is obviously the main reason.
It's all those seconds. I love this. It's like, this is getting on TV too, right? I love it. So, Aaron, you call. Tyrone already has the head shake going like this.
I don't know what it is, man.
But you bring out the worst in my man. But go ahead,
and
Aaron.
I'm a gentleman. So who knows? Right? Is it fair for me? I know the defense was the main reason they lost the game, but is it fair, because it seems to be happening more than once, to comment on what the heck Carson Wentz is doing at the end of halves in games? I mean, Michael, at the end of that drive with technically not a 2-minute drive, but with like 5 minutes left, we have 1st and 10 on the 44. They decide to go deep. Now, when you're going deep, you have to be aware as a quarterback, you can't take a sack.
He got sacked on that first play. Yes. Yeah.
Right. And meanwhile, the guy was wide open. And you know what he does, Michael? You play baseball. That bunny hop and patting of the ball sometimes habit that he gets in when he has to go deep cost him that ball.
You also got to wait till the play develops before you go deep.
Dude, Michael, I don't know if you've seen it. He was wide open. Like, he just doesn't. You're going to tell me he doesn't hold on to the ball too long sometimes?
Until it was right on him. I thought coming from the middle.
Michael, and then the next pass.
It's probably a bad call. Like, at 1st and 10 to 44, you're trying to shock them by going deep. In retrospect, you can look at any call that doesn't work and say it was bad.
Well, you got to see. I don't really necessarily know what he's doing when he reads the play. Like, the interception, that play was designed to go to the flat, and Sanders is wide open, and he decides to pump it into Ertz. I mean, the next play after that sack, Michael, he threw an 8-yard pass to Sanders, which is free money all day. If he throws that on the first down, you have 2nd and 3 from the 37.
I'm so sure you're right. I think the primary was Ertz there. The secondary is the running back coming out.
There's people who saw it. I mean, you know what? I would like you to ask Ron, if you don't mind, if that play, that bomb that he got the sack on was open.
I would say no.
All right. Well, I'll ask Ron.
You can't beat that.
I'll ask Ron.
I think it's a fair question. I mean, is this at the end of the first half, when they were driving for a field goal, and he just decides to just first and 10 on the 49 of Pittsburgh with 37 seconds left. How do we not get 15 more yards to tie that game up and change the dynamic? I mean, according to the commentator, we had momentum after he failed to get us points at the end of the half. I didn't see where that was coming from.
That was the sequence where Hightower cost them a timeout by not going out of bounds. So when they would have had one timeout left when J.J. Arcega-Whiteside caught the ball and be able to get a field goal.
When he has first and 10 with 37 seconds left from the 49, is it his job to help get a field goal or no?
Well, yeah, but he has to complete to a guy that's open. The guy has to have the wherewithal to know the clock and the situation. Wentz can't push him out of bounds.
Mike, forget that. He had first and 10 on the 37 seconds left from the 49-yard line. The play call should not be a 20-25-yard pass because you can't even line up for a field goal.
They completed the pass. If the guy goes out of bounds, they get a field goal.
Well, you know what? Then he must have played. Well, then give me a grade for his game.
B.
B? Okay. I'll say B, C. But you know what? One of these days, I'd like to wake up on Monday morning and say, Carson Wentz won us that game. Is that fair?
Yeah. He made a receiver out of this kid 10 times, right? I don't think that what he did was an awful game by any stretch of the imagination. It wasn't the great game that would have got him a victory, but I don't think anything that Wentz did was, you go, well, he gave him 7 on a turnover, right? Now, you could look at that play and go, Ertz quit on the play, Ertz got bumped, it could have been a penalty, but it was an interception. So and that turned into 7. So, I look at that, I go, okay, you can't overcome that. I mean, that's a bad thing. But for the most part, he was fine.
Yeah, my issue with Aaron is Aaron doesn't listen. He calls in to talk. And no matter what anybody says to him, he just keeps going. So his calls are like white noise nonsense. It's not that he's a bad human. It's that
he's supposed to be
conversation radio. He left out that Hightower thing completely because he calls in with a narrative. Many times the narrative's stupid. But we let him do it because we like him. It's a bad narrative.
You don't
to call
like him.
It.
That's for damn sure.
Well, how do you not, in that drive, not mention the Hightower thing and call yourself...
Aaron's cantankerous. He's a cantankerous
But the Hightower thing was he has to get out of bounds there. You get an extra 3 points for sure
Aaron
if he does
targets
that.
Somebody he wants to blame and creates the narrative around that. Right. A lot of callers do that.
He's the most annoying at it.
All right, we're in the 5 o'clock hour next. Ron Jaworski at the top, and your phone call throughout the entire hour. So you got something to say, hit us up on a Football Monday. Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's the 5 o'clock hour. Always a great hour for telephone calls and your viewpoints. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. It is a Football Monday, and we try to look at the Eagles game from several different viewpoints, including our next guest, Ron Jaworski, who is brought to us by Barlow Chevrolet.
Brought to you by Barlow Chevrolet. Barlow Chevrolet is looking for your trade, and there might be more equity in your vehicle than you think. Trade up for a new 2021 Chevrolet today. Find new roads at Barlow Chevrolet in Delran or at BarlowChevrolet.com.
Thank you, Tyra. Now, without further ado, let's bring in the man, the legend, the great number 7, Ron Jaworski. Hello, Ron Jaworski.
Michael, how are you today? Not real good, I'm sure.
Well, it's funny because I looked at this game this is a game they're not going to win anyway. They took it to the hill. They tried to win it. They're not as good as the Steelers, and I have to face the reality of it. But, you know, there are certain parts of this game where you go, they could have won it had they done X. And you know what we're talking about here, the killer touchdown with Claypool isolated on, the great Nathan Gary. Now, you saw the video of this, I assume. You looked at the film. What did you see here?
Well, it was pretty simple as far as the execution of the play. It's a play that every team has in their playbook as a cover two beater. In other words, those two safeties split, the middle of the field is open. And it's a cover two beater that Ben audible to. And it's crystal clear to me after looking at both the sideline and the end zone, when Ben broke the huddle and he saw that he had Claypool at number three position, in other words, the third receiver in on the left side, was going to be matched against a linebacker and Nate Gary, that's immediately what he went to, the check. He could, he saw it. He's got a guy that's been toasting the Eagles all day, matched on a linebacker who's probably not the best coverage guy. And I don't care who the linebacker is, you're not running with Claypool down the middle of the hole with all this space that he had. So when Ben audibled, the counter should have been an Eagles audible. Get back to a single high, to change the coverage scheme, because, they went to a perfect play. And football is a game of matchups. And the matchup is a speedy wide receiver against a linebacker in space. The wide receiver will win that 99.9% of the time. So clearly, that's the play that's most talked about, and rightfully so.
It seems to be so fundamental. I was making a joke earlier. It's like beach football. If you're the quarterback and you get the your heavy cousin trying to cover a fast guy, you're going to look at that matchup, right? So it seems so fundamental. So who is at fault for not adjusting?
Well, again, either you could look at this secondary all season long; it's been depleted. So you got a bunch of guys that haven't seen a lot of playing time, and maybe they're not as apt to audible right now. While and play that chess match with Ben Roethlisberger, who's a 17-year veteran, and when he came out of the huddle and saw that split safety look with Claypool, the number three position on linebacker, it was easy for him to do it. Although what I read this morning, Bennett said they had never run this play with that personnel group, which is four wide receivers and one tight end on the field. But, they obviously got it done, and Bennett recognized the weakness of the defense. So, I'd like to say, well, the minute Ben audible, there should have been someone in that Eagles secondary, checking back to a single high or a different coverage scheme, because Ben just got to a perfect play. And it looked to me like Roby Coleman, who was covering number two, that's the inside receiver of the three receiver side on the left, was kind giving some hand signals to Nate to try to, like, hey, get deeper. But, Gary didn't have much of a chance because he had to play the crossing route. So he had to settle at about that 7 or 8 yard area to prevent the first down. If he runs deep, you're going to see Claypool run a quick crosser and, Ben's going to hit him and get the first down. So he was really in no man's land.
What's Roddy McLeod's responsibility? Seems like a veteran, enough of a player to make an adjustment like that, no?
No, it's a cover two beater. The outside receiver runs basically just a hitch, and the inside receiver, number two, runs a corner. So he ran right at McLeod, and McLeod had to go with him because then he was going back to the outside. So it's just clearing the middle of the field, creating more space. The design of the coverage opens up the middle. Then when the wide receivers run their routes, they take those safeties further away from the middle of the field. So it was just a perfect play against the defense. Was really short.
A lot of people are hammering Jim Schwartz today, Ron. Is that justified?
Yes. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Jim Schwartz, and this team has had success with Schwartz, but this is one they got beaten. My gut feeling is that with the depleted secondary, they weren't able to react quick enough to what Ben did. They just had to stay with the coverage that was called, and obviously it bit them.
All right, let's look at the offensive part of it, because the kid who was on the practice squad all of a sudden has emerged and he grabs 10 balls and he looks like a guy that knows how to run a route to get open. I mean, what were you seeing with Travis Fulgham?
Yeah, I thought Fulgham was outstanding. Obviously, watching the game, I thought he was very good. Looking at the tape, he was great. he is a good route runner. He's a young Alshon Jeffrey. There's no doubt Carson has great confidence in him where he's going to be. Carson's much better with the anticipation when he's throwing to him. So it's clear that over the last few weeks, they've spent a lot of time together. But I will say this. The best route may be the one where he didn't catch a football, because the Eagles probably would have won the game. I think it was about 4:59 on the clock, and he ran a stutter go up the left sideline, and Carson pumped and then came off him. He was wide open by 3 or 4 yards. and just ran a great route, a double move route. I don't know what spooked Carson to get him away, because he's been throwing to him all day, but he just left him and it would have been a touchdown.
All right, let's look at the other receiver who has not been productive, and it's alarming, and we're talking about Zach Ertz. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think number one, Pittsburgh did a really good job of taking him away. They were bringing the safety down, match a linebacker inside with linebacker outside. Pittsburgh is very creative. They're a veteran football team that does a lot of things to force you into mistakes. And they went into this game plan, at least in my feeling looking at tape, was they were not going to let Zach Ertz beat them. They were doubling him. Now, there were times he got the single coverage. Carson had a couple sail on him where he could have got it to him. The interception was just Ertz could not get inside. He got bumped on the play. So it was just one of those fluke things that happened. But clearly, when he's getting some opportunities, Carson's missed him a couple times. And I'm just not seeing the separation that I normally see from Zach Ertz. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Usually when he's running these crossers, these underneath routes, their separation, it just isn't as big as it was in the past. So, like I said, Father Time may be catching up a little bit.
Or the other theory is that the contract is messed with his head. Do you believe that?
No, I don't think so. He's a great competitor. He's a great teammate. I think that stuff the media likes to read into it, but I don't put any validity on that.
All right, let's look at the offensive line. You watch the film. What do you see?
Oh man, I was excited. I really was. I mean, going in this game, I thought if the Eagles could protect, because it's a pretty fierce, front five or six, whatever you want to say, if the Steelers, because their linebackers are integrated into their scheme so much in pass rush pressure. And I thought for the most part, the old line did an outstanding job in pass protection. I thought Mailata had a terrific game. Maybe at the end of the game, Bud Dupree, but he handled Bud Dupree pretty much, the whole game. So you get up a sack late, you never say meaningless, but I thought when the game was being contested, he did very well. What was disappointing from the old line, this is a better run blocking old line. And I think, when you play the Steelers and that defense, you got to stay on schedule, and they weren't efficient enough on those running downs. Yeah, they had the one play for 74 yards, but other than that, they did nothing in the running game. And I expected a little more on the running game, so that would probably be a little bit of a negative. But overall, when you consider the length of time this offensive line has been together, I think Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line coach, has really done a terrific job.
All right, let me just look at the get your opinion on the play where they decided to kick this 57-yard field goal. There are numbers that in that stadium that's too far to kick it. So he's in that situation. He decides to go for it. What'd you think of the decision?
Yeah, it was really interesting because I'm watching the game. And it seems like whatever happens in Pittsburgh is crazy, because there's never been a field goal longer than 53 yards at Heinz Field. Never. And it's been quite a while. And, there's winds there, and it's kind of a crazy place, the open end zone. And, you just don't know what to expect. So when I heard it, I'm going, ooh, I wonder what was said in a sideline between Phipp and Doug and obviously Jake Elliott. Can he make it from there? He obviously had the distance to make it. That wasn't the question, but it sailed a little bit right. But if Phipp says, hey, that's in his distance, and Jake says, hey, it's in my distance, I think it's the right call.
Okay. All right. Last question. I got to ask you about this. We go back to defense. Because the Eagles have never placed a premium on linebackers. And you look at the colleges now, and they're spawning all these linebackers that can run and linebackers that can cover. The Eagles have seemed to be behind the trend on that. Is this an area that they need to invest more in?
Absolutely. And I totally agree with that statement. In fact, I think probably the last maybe all-pro linebacker we've had, Jeremiah Trotter, we're going back a little bit. But, you can only spend your money in so many places. You can't pay everybody. And the Eagles have chosen to spend it on defensive line and offensive line and the quarterback. And, I'm okay with that. But I think you're 100% correct, Mike. When you look at today's NFL with the plethora of wide receiver package that you see every single down, you better get a linebacker, not only one that could attack the line of scrimmage and defend the run game, but can play pass defense and can run with backs out of the backfield. And by the way, if you get matched up against a receiver that's hot like Claypool, could run with him. I don't know if there are any guys like that play linebacker, run like Claypool, but there has to be more of a premium at a linebacker position.
All right, Rod, always a pleasure, man. Wednesday night, where are we here?
We will be Wednesday night with Dick Vermeil out at the Downingtown Country Club. So open to the public. Come on in. Say hello to the coach. And I'm sure the coach will have a lot to say.
All right, Downingtown. Your golf business has to be booming with this weather in the fall, right? A lot of people out at the courses.
It's been phenomenal. It's one of the few things you could do right now. It's great for social distancing. People got 5 acres themselves around a golf course. So the golf business has been good.
Awesome. We'll talk to you, Ronnie.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
There he is, Ron Jaworski. Brought to us by...
It's brought to us...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By Barlow Chevrolet. Barlow Chevrolet is looking for your trade, and there might be more equity in your vehicle than you think. Trade up for a new 2021 Chevrolet today. Find new roads at Barlow Chevrolet and Delran at BarlowChevrolet.com.
Now, what's that Barlow Chevy you have there in the lot?
I got the Chevy Trax, the 2019 Chevy Trax. Looking at perhaps trading that in early and getting the Trailblazer.
Ooh.
Been looking at it.
Schmancy.
You're like, this is like an Italian thing back in the day.
What do you mean?
They trade in a car every year. That was like a big thing. Well, he trades in an old... Your cousin Jeffrey's successful. He trades in an old 98 every year. I don't know what that was. It was an Italian thing. They trade cars every year.
Been a couple years.
Get a newer car.
I got the 2019 in late 2018.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be time, maybe 2 years. Maybe it's time for me to get the Trailblazer. The guys, they do such a good job at Barlow Chevrolet.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. 610-632-0975 is how you climb in. Just one thing I want to talk about with the crowd in Pittsburgh. It looked very sparse. And in fact, all around, apparently, the number of allotment of tickets are not being taken advantage to the fullest. There's like what is it, 12%?
Yes.
12% less than they allow. So yes. Some people are afraid to go or have chosen not to go.
Yes, Sal Powell ended up giving me a follow-up on it. They opened it up to their season ticket holders. Mm-hmm. They did a lottery. Guys got it. You can't really resell because you have to be able to contact trace. That's one thing that's required. So they need to know who has the ticket. So I don't think there's any aftermarket on it. But 12% of that 5,500 didn't show up. Yep. So you're talking about in a place that holds 70,000.
Yes.
You're now talking about, take 12%, that's less than 4,000 fans in a 70,000-seat arena.
Yeah, some people are either being responsible or afraid, whatever it is. It's kind of a good thing, I think. But let's now take that to another conversation. Because Dan Mullen, the head coach of Florida Gators, who's actually from Drexel Hill and went to Ursinus, played football at Ursinus, and now he's a big-time college football, high-priced coach. Now, they lose to Texas A&M. And after the game, he makes a statement kind of like being jealous of the fact that Texas A&M had a home field crowd advantage. Because he lost, he needs a deflection point. So he says, well, I hope we pack the swamp with 90,000 fans next week. And it was an irresponsible statement. And he refused today to back off the irresponsible statement.
And you're talking about the state of Florida here. And what's funny is the school said, yeah, about that, no. Like, they're going to leave the restrictions in place. Texas also, that stadium had a crowd, but it was not full. It was pretty full at the end zones. But on the ends, it was not full. They're also still following it. That's sour grapes. And now, how can a player... not making an excuse if the coach is in public making excuses.
Yeah.
I thought coaches were supposed to teach accountability.
I could see it was like some old-time football coach from the South who, you know, has downplayed this whole thing. Dan Mullen's a pretty sharp guy. He's an Eastern-bred guy who should, like, I would think, be a little more responsible than that. But what do I know?
And there's no place that's going to allow a full stadium.
Right.
And that's part of why the governor... did it. The governor can look good and say, see, I opened everything up. That doesn't mean it's mandatory, man. The school has to look out for the students. And there's been outbreaks all over that we're not hearing about. There's been a couple games played where 20 players were out for COVID. But because they had enough wide receivers and enough offensive linemen and enough, it fell right, they still played the games. This thing's growing in a way on those campuses that they're not talking about because they don't have to. The NFL has to disclose. And don't get me started on what's happening with the NFL.
Like, yeah, all the reschedule is it's a mess right now.
Eight games already.
We'll see if we get to the finish line. Like I said, we kind of knew that something was going to happen this way. They might not be able to get to the finish line, so it's a day to day thing. Let's go to Curtis in Overbrook. What's up, Curtis?
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm a little sad because I have my old college roommates from McKeesport. So, yesterday kind of stung just because I was talking a lot of crap to him about the Steelers. And, you know, but the
why were you talking crap? It was like you were going in with a pop gun and against his AK-47.
Mike, but you got to go out like that.
All right, I hear you.
It's in state rivalry, man. You got to. But I did feel like that the offense took is starting to grow a little bit better. I saw more out of the offense, even though I wasn't happy with the lack of the inside run game besides the long run. I was happy to see that they were able to put up 29 points, Mike, and it's something to hang our hat on going forward. You know, what do you think about that?
I'm unfazed by that.
You're unfazed by it?
The kid had a great night. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to score that way. I got to see that consistently happen. I don't know what's going to happen with DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey. So, you know, maybe they never get back. And you had the one play to Miles Sanders, but then they shackled him. Yeah. So, like, I don't know how potent this team could be. Like, to me, to say, well, they scored a 29, that means their offense is okay. I don't see it that strongly yet.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to look at it from at least find some silver lining in this loss. And that's what I was trying to
find. Yeah, I gotcha. But, you know, like silver linings are good. Like, okay, let's take that silver lining. Can they win next week? They scored 29 points against the Steelers. Does that indicate that they can beat the Ravens?
No.
No. So whether it's like they can beat the Giants, they can beat, you know, these other teams that are also Rams. Without having to score 29 points, I just don't think that they're going to be able to, their offense is going to have any bearing on a good team.
Right. And my last point is the reason why I called. I was happened to look at that third and five play again today, and maybe the play call was to go to Fogel, but if he actually looks, because he's on the left hash mark there, if he looks to his left, Miles Sanders would have walked in for a first down right there because they got a rub play over there. Yeah. They actually wind up taking out the guy that would have had the responsibility of Miles Sanders. I don't know whether that's Carson or whether the play design.
You're talking about the one that Hayden broke up with Fulgham?
Yeah. If you go back and look at that play, I mean, like, you go back and look at it, they're on the left hash mark.
Yeah, the other thing is, though, he's really gotten into a groove with the kid, and he's been open on it. So I assume he's going, okay, he's going to get open on this play, too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's tough.
It is tough. And I'm nitpicking with that one, Mike, but I just looked at it, and I was like, you know.
Yeah, no, I hear you. All right. Thanks, Curtis. Good talking to you. The Miles Sanders thing. It's left a bad taste in your mouth, Ira, that he's had some things to say where
he's calling out
people and stuff. Well,
and he's talking about how great he's going to be and how trash, I'm an every down player and all that. He does a lot of talking. And he's the sixth least efficient running back so far this year. And I know he had the big run.
He's feeling himself after that run, too, back in his hometown.
Yeah, he ends up scoring another tag to two touchdowns. But outside of that, like, 10 yards outside of that
run.
Yeah,
they stopped him.
Then the coach didn't trust him the other week to close the game. At the end, they got Boston Scott and Clement getting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying you did a lot of talking. Like Wentz, for example, if he's bad, at least he's humble and bad.
Yeah.
You're being boisterous and bad.
I think Miles Sanders is a nice player. I don't think he's a star caliber.
But Deuce thought he was a star, and he told everybody all offseason, I'm a star, I'm a star.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when do I see him be a star? Nice couple plays, and maybe next week against Baltimore, he gets 25 carries and he gets 170 yards and they win because of him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But that hasn't happened yet.
No, when you're right.
Win the team a game like a star running back will do. A star running back should be good for one. Get us next week, and then they can win the division
somehow. He hasn't become Westbrook like we thought that he might become.
And if the pass isn't perfect, he doesn't catch it. I know Wentz has been off, but some of these have been catchable in that it goes off his hands. And he can still catch it and fall down even. If it's not perfect, he has no hope. Westbrook would catch out one-handed behind him. Five would throw a worm ball. 36 would go down and get it. This guy, it's got to be just so or forget about it.
Right. You hearing that? He complimented you.
No, he would go get
you
it.
Hear that?
Down low.
Damn. 610-632-0975 is how you climb in. Mike Missanelli Show. We roll till sound off coming our way a little later. Back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Plug in.
Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, where you're more than a customer. Your family. Visit FamilyAutos.com.
Farzetta in the morning.
There is no excuse whatsoever for Nate Gary to be on Chase Claypool. And I still can't. Like, it was the last thought I had, I swear. The last thought I had before I closed my eyes to fall asleep was, how does that happen? Like, how does that happen?
The Anthony Gargano Show.
I think Travis Fulton is the real deal. That excites me. We're not going to have to pine for receivers every week, even though this is the golden age of receivers. But it looks like Travis Fulton did what?
Mike Missanelli.
If any of their coaches looked up and saw that alignment, it was the wrong alignment. Hey, you got Gary on the clay pole. Now go. Today's explanations were kind of lame on. He made an explanation. You don't want to take a timeout there because if you get the ball back. So guess what? They get a first down on that play. They get a touchdown. The game's over.
Listen all day, every day to 97.5 The Fanatic.
The voice of the Philly sports fan.
This is the final Twitter poll number. So on a football Monday, Natalie, it's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, you know. If you need a new mower or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer & Sons is the place to go. In Doylestown, order online at paulbmoyer.com. What do the final numbers say about the blame game?
All right, Mike. Over 2,000 votes on this one today. Who is to blame for the Steelers' final drive? 7% say Peterson, 78% say Schwartz, 12% say Gary, and 3% say the pass rush. So Jim Schwartz taking the heat.
All right. Let's play the best of Doug. Today, I haven't heard enough from Doug today, so I want to hear Doug from his presser today and the things he had to say about the controversial parts of this game. Now, this was the what was the first one we're going to play?
He's going to talk about they asked him, hey, was this on Gary? What should have happened on that play?
Oh, the play. Yeah. Okay, let's hear his explanation on the play with Gary on Chase Claypool.
At the end of the game, you know, it's as much a really good call by the Steelers and really between Ben and Claypool than it was the call on defense. I mean, he saw what was going on. He read the coverage and it was just a one-on-one, you know, situation. So, you know, you sit here today and we could, you know, 20-20 and, you know, and hindsight and all that. But I thought it was more of a really good recognition by the Steelers and Ben, you know, to make that play.
That was a homada answer if I ever heard one.
Yeah.
Come on, man. That's a come on, man. Because any quarterback, forget Ben. I'm telling you, beach football quarterback looks at that.
Yeah.
All right. So now what's the next one? Is the explanation?
Well, why not? A lot of people are saying, if you're watching the game and you see that matchup and you see that Ben, it took Ben some time to get that play going because even Claypool kind of looks back and is like,
yeah,
like call timeout.
Yeah.
And this is his response to why he didn't.
Why he didn't call timeout.
You call a timeout, then you burn a timeout in a situation where you're trying to, you know, stop the stop the defense on a third and eight situation. We as coaches have to put our players in situations to be successful. That falls on me as the head coach, and I got to make sure that I do that. And I didn't want to burn a timeout in that situation because I knew that we were going to have to get the ball back, and we could use those timeouts there.
You know, Spider, you're a mumbling, stuttering. Now, listen, man, if you don't stop them there, the game's over. So forget about the timeout down the road. This is the play. You got to stop them here.
If you stop them, it's 5 points, and there's a shot.
Yeah.
Also, I want to ask you about this early in the show, but we obviously take a lot of calls and everything. So they go for two to get it to nine.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, they go for two. Then they score again, and now they're down. They end up kicking the extra point, and they're down by two. And then they score, and now they're down nine. Once you go for two, don't you go for two again there? Because 9 and 10 is the same. If you go for two again, even if they score that touchdown, the game's not over because a touchdown and a two-point conversion can tie. Once you go for two to get it to nine, and then they score again, and then you come down and match it, you have to go for two again because 9 and 10 is the same. Get it to one and force them on that last touchdown. The game's not over technically. Maybe you don't go down the field. I thought that was odd by the coach too, because once you go for two the first time, you're committed. You then go for two again because 9 and 10 is the same.
Yeah.
I thought that was weird coaching there.
Yeah.
On his feet with the analytics. Analytics people got to be in his ear and say, no, you go for it again and then go down one. So if they score a touchdown, you're down eight instead of nine. And sure enough, they end up down nine.
I enjoy sometimes the way he tries to talk himself out of situations. He doesn't do it.
No.
I thought you said you are right, Spider. No, you ain't all right, Spider. You got a lot of freaking problems. Let's go to Dave in Scranton. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's up, Dave?
How you guys doing, Tyrone and that? Hope you're having a good day. Hey, both them coaches been questionable in the fourth quarter before. Doug sometimes looks like he's oblivious, don't know what's going on. And Schwartz, that was a bad call. You know, I know.
Yeah, Schwartz has autonomy. That's the thing. It's interesting. I don't know how it works around the league. I haven't done a comparative study of all these NFL teams, and whether they just don't oversee their defense coordinators or what. It seems to me that the head coach, if you're actively coaching the game, that's a situation where you got to put your input in.
Yeah, you're right. The good ones won. A real good coach called timeout right there, saved the game. You know, but hey, I was wondering. Did you see that UFC knockout this weekend?
No, I missed it.
Put it on YouTube and check it out sometime.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable spin and back fist. It's brutal, but
yeah, it was a brutal knockout, was it?
Oh my God, unbelievable! Yeah. Yeah. But even Wentz, sometimes he just looks like he's panicky. Ben looks so smooth, calm, and collected, and Wentz he just sometimes looks like he's herky jerky. He don't know what to do. He's panicking back there. And
yeah.
They got to smooth him out a little, I think.
Yeah, so, I hear you.
Let him listen to the play calls. I think he's changing too many plays, too. But hopefully they get a little better. That's all we can hope.
All right, buddy. Hey, Dave, thanks for checking in.
All right, my good.
All right,
you
there
guys.
You go. I love it, Dave.
I love Dave,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, raspy, the old school sports fan.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
that's awesome. By the way, in case you're interested in baseball, the Tampa Bay Rays look like they're going to win a World Series, man. They got what it takes, I think.
I actually think that whoever wins in the NL is going to win it.
Really?
Yes, I've thought that all year.
Well, I don't know, Tampa Bay, I don't know how you can go again. They make all the right moves and plays and
Dodgers
decisions.
Are really good.
Yeah, I know the Dodgers are probably, but there's something magic about this Tampa team. I don't know what it is. The Dodgers are going to be a heavy favorite.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Tampa just puts it together somehow.
I also think if the Braves get there, the Braves will win it too.
Really? You think the Braves will beat the Rays?
I think the two best teams.
I'll take green money on that if that comes around.
All right.
Braves aren't going to be the Dodgers, but I'll take the Rays in that clash.
All right. But I do like the Rays team. But I. And good.
They're, you know, you look at them, you go, eh. But they're together. Like, they and they have synergy.
Here's the other thing about the Astros. We knew they were talented.
Mm-hmm.
But at this level, a lot tougher when you don't know the pitch. And it's 100.
Yeah,
when you don't know what's coming, it's 100, it's a little harder.
Yeah, Rays are 1-0. It's 3-0 Rays in the fourth. And Margot just made an amazing catch, a flip over the wall to save a home run.
There you go. But... Yeah, the Astros, I'm just saying, it's a lot tougher when it's 100 and you don't know what it is.
I hear you.
If you're sitting dead red on 100, a little easier than if you don't know, might be a slider.
I don't even know if the people in Houston are rooting for the Astros in this series.
Probably not.
Let's go Chuck in North Carolina. Chuck, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chuck.
I'll take that deal. I'm a Tyrone. You know if my Braves go to the World Series, they're going to beat the Rays.
Oh, you're a Rays fan?
No, I'm a Braves fan.
Oh, Braves fan. I thought you said Rays. Braves.
You told Tyrone.
Braves
aren't
beating the Dodgers. I'll spot you two games they won't beat the Dodgers.
I'm not going to do a spot. I think they're going to beat them. I just think the Braves are playing really good, and they don't have
They don't have the firepower.
I just think the mix it up is going to mix it up. I got to have faith, just like when my Eagles went. You know, you got to have that faith. They can't lose. You got to root with it. So, anyway, look, I have a new astonishment for underneath houses that I have not seen in 16 years, Mike.
What's that?
Dead crawfish.
You found a dead crawfish from a flood?
They come up in your ditches around here, and they go up underneath of people's like mobile homes and stuff, and they're all plastic, and they'll make their little nest underneath. But yeah, I was crawling around through all this nasty mud because it's been raining here, and there was dead crawfish underneath the house. I was like, man, I couldn't wait to call and tell y'all. Like, man,
Chuck, you're like a swamp thing. Yeah.
I love it. Hey, look. The people didn't have no hot water. They've been without, and I knew it was nasty under there, so I called my buddy Chris, say, hey, man, come on over here and help me. Let's get this knocked out. And I trudged through the mud and the dirty and the nasty, but because I have hope in people and civilization that if we keep helping each other, no matter what it is, we will come out of this on top. And I refuse
to let it take me. You need to get a TV series on, like, TLC.
I could be a co-host.
Dirty Jobs 2 with Chuck.
I could be a co-host on the Mikey Miss Show.
Well, you're more of a TV, type of dirty jobs type of guy.
I got two questions, and it's about two receivers. And how come Folcomb has more yards than Ertz? Is Ertz really washed up? I heard him talking about it earlier.
No, I don't think he's washed up. I don't know what's. I think his head's a little out of it, to be honest with you. I think he'll get it back together.
And is Folgum the real deal? Is he the deal?
You know me. I need a lot more before I go. He's the real deal. Now, he looks like he's got some ability to get open, which was refreshing to see.
He's got some good hands, too.
I refuse to be taken down the path. Yeah.
It's better than Nelson Aguilar, especially when
I don't know. Not now. Oh, Nelly.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've done seen it. He's had two touchdowns taken away from holding calls.
He's got a new lease on life out there on the West Coast.
Yeah, whatever. He's a bum.
Crawdads.
Crawfish.
Ghost crickets.
Camel crickets. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Wait till they rely on Aguilar. You'll see. He'll be back to being himself.
Yeah, I agree. It's a temp thing for Aggie. All right. It is time for Sound Off in about 3 minutes. So stay tuned for that. A Monday Sound Off is usually interesting. It's the Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me? What is it? The hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number 5 will always love you.
You can't
chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic Same-Day Joint Replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Let's keep going. Sound off.
Yeah, it's time for Sound Off, a Monday Sound Off following Eagles game. Doesn't get any better than that. Sound Off line 610-771-9705. You got something to say, hit us up. Leave us a message. We look at all of them. We review them. We put together a little package. What's the package say today?
If I said it once, I've said it a thousand times. Jim Schwartz is a horrible defensive coordinator. He's a guy that has skated on other players' talent. We blame players for his inability to scheme and diagnose and call up good defensive tactics. He's not an X's and O's coach. He's a good old boy in the network.
Not a very popular man right now, Jimmy Schwartz. Now, there's some people that think he's a good defensive coordinator. Most people here right now don't think he's a very good defensive coordinator. And I will guarantee you, I'll stake my pinky on this, that he's getting fired at the end of the year when they come up short.
As a public service announcement for all Eagles fans, we're filing a class action lawsuit against the Philadelphia Eagles for malpractice of a defensive coordinator. Dial 1-800-JIM-SUCKS.
Oh, Jimmy. He speaks tomorrow. We'll hear what he has to say tomorrow. Tuesdays with the coordinator.
All I want for Indigenous Peoples Day is a Jim Schwartz firing. Please, just fire Jim Schwartz. Thank you.
He needs to be gone now. He needs to be gone immediately. Well, you're not going to fire him immediately. This will be an end-of-the-year situation. But listen, just got to... gonna waste the days. He's the guy that's gonna go. It's inevitable.
So Mike, maybe you can explain to me how a seasoned veteran defensive coordinator with no running backs on the field can have a linebacker sticking a guy that scored a total of 4 touchdowns against him. It's why I can't stand Jim Schwartz. It's why I said before on Sound Off he should be fired.
Yeah, it wasn't a good look. Now, again, we're absolving the head coach, who's supposed to be like the overseer. And I don't know what he's always looking at the chart, what he's looking at call. But you got to coach a game, and, you know, maybe he could have said, yo, I don't like that look, Jimmy. T.O., timeout.
I'd like to congratulate the Pittsburgh Steelers MVP of the game, Jim Schwartz. If you told me before the game that we would score 29 points in Pittsburgh against the top-flight defense, I would have said we win. But with this clown defensive coordinator, he makes every mediocre quarterback, receiver, and offensive line look like geniuses in the next Joe Montana.
Are we going to run the board? Could this possibly be a unanimous Jim Schwartz sound off? That's 4 in a row. Let's see.
Do you know who lost that game today? Howie Roseman. It's bad enough week after week. We have to watch all these receivers that the Eagles didn't pick have unbelievable games. But now to see another pick, a second-round pick, Claypool, who Jalen Hurts was taken by the Eagles in front of that kid, have a game of his life.
I noticed the same thing, and hence that was my theme for Around the NFL today. Yes.
And, you know, for the better part of 3 seasons, it's been our 3rd and 4th stringers against other teams' 1st string. Dougie P could only pull so many rabbits out of his hat. This is getting old and ambiguous. Howie, can you figure something out? Thank you.
See, this is Dave again with the Dougie P worship. And I've come to a conclusion. He ran into Doug Peterson somewhere and got an autograph. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. He is a firm Doug Peterson worshiper. And I think it's because either Doug said hello to him somewhere in the city or maybe even signed something to him. We're gonna, next time Dave calls, I got to crack him.
Well, we let another one slip away. That could have been a victory. However, I'd like to put in my application for the Travis Bulgum Society. Mike, you missed 10 for 152. But oh wait, he doesn't have the pedigree.
He went to Old Dominion.
Yeah. Well, listen, in the words of the great Harvey Keitel, the wolf in Pulp Fiction, you know what I have to say. Yeah, don't react too soon. He said something like that. Don't react too soon. You're going to need a little more information. Don't get crazy on me, because sometimes it can come back to bite you when you go overboard too quickly.
Yo, Tyrone. I called last week and said, it's time to start the fog of society, and you said you would be president. So, President Johnson, you have been appointed president.
Thank you.
All right, now, you didn't say anything about this today. Are you officially the president of the Fulgham Society?
Yeah, I said if he scores a touchdown, then I'm the president.
But you didn't publicize that very hard today. Does that mean that you're thinking that you need a little more time?
No, I'm completely in.
You're in?
I'm completely in.
Can I be vice president?
Yeah.
All right, folks.
You can be president and I'll be vice president.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Okay. I'll be the guy in the back of the room who causes contention.
I would imagine that's who you are.
Close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sonar. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic Same Day Joint Replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are they?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
See you later.
All right, folks, that was Sound Off. Stay tuned inside the Bird Show. Moshe Kaplan from 6 to 8, presented by DraftKings on NBC Sports Philly. It is Eagles postgame live replay. Stay tuned for that. Everybody have a great rest of the night. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.